This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Vol Gang. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
What's going on and welcome to what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program, Idaho Sports Talk. We are Prater and the Ball Game right here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Appreciate you participating in our show on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, 208-424-9300. Cloverdale Plumbing text line, same exact number. Communicate. What we have here is a failure to communicate with my partner, Mike Prater. All kidding aside, what's up? Do you know what movie that's from?
What we've got here is a failure to communicate.
I'm going to go with Al Pacino in a courtroom.
Good guess.
Nope,
JP?
Nope. It's Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, it's I don't know who the character is. It's whoever the prison guard guy is. Anyway, not here, not there. What is here and there is Sports Talk Radio, and we're happy to have you guys with us on a Thursday. Got a big NFL game. We have some monster-sized local guests, some national guests as well, Prater. So certainly fired up for this program. And you can bet the one guest that we do have booked that I'm a little more fired up for than the others. I've been waiting to get this guy on this show for a while.
You just want to skip past the whole first hour, even though that whole first hour is pretty spectacular ball game. You want to go straight to 4 o'clock where we are scheduled to talk to Jack Sears, the former Boise State quarterback who we never really got a chance to know. The only reason he's coming on this show ball game is because he knew that you fell in love with him a long time ago. Okay, I made that part
Thank
up.
You.
But you have been his biggest supporter, and you've not been wrong. You've pushed him hard, and I don't think anything you've said has been wrong. You've been a big advocate of what he can do. I know he's very popular around here. The backup quarterback's always popular, but yep. He kind of took on a life of his own in terms of the his ability, his background, his pedigree, his potential, the little bit he teased us on the field. It's a shame that we didn't get to see more of Jack Sears. It's a shame that a guy as talented as that dude, his college career is going to be boiled down to 1 year with one team, one time next year.
Think about this, like Tua Tagovailoa, right? He's in the NFL right now. It's his, second year at the Miami Dolphins. Jack Sears was at the final Elite 11 camp going into high school with Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh.
That's how old Jack Sears is. He still has another year of eligibility, and Tua's year two of the NFL. But that's the type of pedigree that you're talking about. And yes, Jack Sears now, former Boise State quarterback, will join us in an hour. We'll talk about this game from a fantasy and gambling perspective. The game tonight, Cowboys in New Orleans against the Saints. Bob Beeler is going to join us to break down the Mountain West Football Championship on Saturday. Lee Sterling talking more pick'em stuff, rock jocks and pop. Soapboxes, Prater, we're packed today, and I'm excited to do it with you. And just a day before a really big weekend in college football with all these championship games, too. This is going to be pretty fun, I think.
It is. There's not the kind of buzz that there should be. I believe this is one of the bigger, better weekends of the college football season. For just some reason, we talked about it yesterday. Think if every one of these championship games this weekend, winner goes to a 12-team playoff. That would be pretty spectacular. That would create a lot of buzz. College football, get it fixed. Get it fixed because this is a too good of a weekend to be wasted. And we're not going to waste the 5 o'clock hour ball game. At 5 o'clock, we're going to decipher how much Kellen Moore is worth. We have a number in mind. I read an article yesterday in Yahoo that talked about the last week and how college coaches have, we're talking $100 million coaches in college football right now. The average coach in the NFL makes about $6.7 million. Kellen Moore was quoted in this story saying he is one of the biggest winners of what's happened in the last 10 days.
Wow.
Because when that dude steps into a room to sign a contract in the next year or two at the latest, he's going to be a $10 million
man. There's a market that's been created, huh? And they're going to pay Kellen to be a part of that. So, heck yeah, anywhere you want to go today, we'll get that going for you on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline.
And at 5:15, we're going to do our very best. You know what? We were successful in getting rid of, kind of Utah State, but I guess we really weren't, were we? I guess we kind of got some help, Air Force, Utah State, the voodoo doll. We were pretty successful with our voodoo doll. It didn't quite work, but we were happy with it. Today at 5:15 ball game, you and I are going to do the anti-voodoo doll thing. There's no voodoo doll involved here, but we're going to do everything that we possibly can to get Dan Hawkins back into the Mountain West.
I love it.
We need him, don't we? We want him, right?
It would be so spicy for folks here in Boise to get Hawk in the Mountain West. And I think it would actually be Hawk's first time in the Mountain West. Remember, Hawk was here in the WAC,
But he's been in Colorado, which has a job opening. JP has the details a little bit later. He's had a job in California. We know that Fresno State has a job opening. Details, more on that later.
Exactly.
We're gonna get Hawk back in the Mountain West, my friend.
Let's get him here. I love it. First and foremost, let's start with tonight's game. And if you're just in Idaho, dude, you just like following sports stories with Idaho ties, then I'm sure you know what's going on with tonight's game. If you don't, we'll fill you in. Check this out, Prater. Dallas Cowboys at the New Orleans Saints, as I said, Thursday night. A game, oh yeah, by the way, we are airing tonight. Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, Boise State tie. Doug Neusmeyer, quarterback coach for the Cowboys, University of Idaho tie. Joel Thomas, the running backs coach for Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints, former University of Idaho star running back, in Taysom Hill makes his first start of the season at quarterback tonight. Obviously, Highland High School, BYU fame, and just if you're an Idaho person and you're an Idaho sports geek, this game has so many levels for you. This is going to be fun. I wonder, just for the regular old Idaho person, who are they hoping does the best tonight? Ooh. And that's probably between Kellen and Taysom Hill, right? Who do you hope has the better night? That'd be something we could take calls or texts on right now. Who you guys rooting for? If you're not a Boise State or a BYU person, just in the middle, who would you rather see do better tonight? Kellen coordinating this offense that has lost 3 out of 4 games, or Taysom getting his first start of the season at quarterback?
Don't forget to throw in that Vanda love, and I know you don't, but you know, this is probably one of those rare games, maybe a first ever game, where all three regions of the state, Northern Idaho, Southwestern Idaho, Eastern Idaho, have been represented in one NFL game, and I think that's pretty darn cool. Joel Thomas and Doug Neusmeyer spent 1 year together in 1993. Doug Neusmeyer was a fifth-year senior All-American football player. Joel Thomas was an 18-year-old true freshman. They probably hung out in a few meetings, got to know each other a little bit, and then here we are, what, 28 years later.
I never knew they played together. Great stat.
28 years later, they're hanging out in the NFL. That's a crazy, crazy, crazy thought. So, of course, we're all rooting for Kellen here. He needs to get that offense rolling. They need to get the Dallas Cowboys back on track. He's got some wide receiver issues. He's got some other issues with that football team. Cedric Wilson, I don't think, is going to be playing tonight. DeMarcus Lawrence has been activated. He's back into it. There's Idaho connections all over the place. And Taysom Hill, he's starting tonight. And his contract, I don't know if that kicks in some of the incentives of that crazy contract he already signed.
I think that begins next year.
That would make a lot of sense. So, I can't see him as a long-term – he's not a long-term solution to the quarterback job there in New Orleans, but tonight he's going to be trying to outscore Kellen Moore, and that's a pretty cool storyline.
And I think Taysom Hill, I mean, he's getting ready for this game. He's getting his shoes taped, his ankles taped, and all that stuff right now, and he's thinking – you know, this is the first step to the next chapter of his career, where he does become a full-fledged quarterback, not a gadget, not a Swiss Army knife, not any of these cool adjectives to describe him as a player, because, yes, he is quite versatile. He's 31 years old. If it's not going to happen, like, seriously, like right now, it's not going to happen at that position for Taysom Hill, unless he wants to go be one of these long-term backup options. And I don't know if a team wants to bring Taysom Hill in as a true backup quarterback. Teams are going to want to bring him in, but they're going to want to make him a gadget guy, have him return kicks and punts, and I don't know if he wants to do that. He's going to have to play his way in there, and you know what? The Saints, it's kind of odd, the position there, and no Alvin Kamara tonight, so that's a big hit for Taysom Hill, right? I mean, a pitcher's best friend is what? A double play, right? A quarterback's best friend is an all-pro running back, and he doesn't have that tonight. Mark Ingram, yeah, that Mark Ingram, he won a Heisman back in 2009, man. Did you vote for him that year? Don't even remember. It was Colt McCoy. It was Slippy Slappy Swami. I know Ingram won. I can't remember the other. Was Kellen a finalist that year? 2009, or was that 2010?
I think he was a finalist in 2010, okay, and a lesser finalist in 2011.
Oh, well, it's not 2010, and it's not 2011. It's just 10 and 11, okay?
Fair.
Forrest. But yeah, this is a huge opportunity for Taysom Hill. You know me. You know my affection for Kellen. I root for him. I want him to do very, very well. He's made me a Cowboy fan. But I'm, at the same time, Prater, I want Taysom Hill to play well tonight. I don't mind if Taysom Hill becomes the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints and all of a sudden can play and maybe they get good over the next two or three years. That's good for Idaho Sports Talk, right? Doesn't hurt us here in the state of Idaho in Boise on the air that Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback in this league. Doesn't hurt us at all. It's actually pretty damn great.
No, and tonight's drama could be fantastic. Let's see who can score. Who can outscore who? Can Taysom Hill outscore Kellen Moore?
I know.
Can Kellen Moore, with his offensive issues the last month of the season, have outscored Taysom Hill? I think that's a beautiful thing. I would imagine those guys have got to know each other a little bit, met each other, hang out a little bit, maybe not. I don't know, but it seems like that those two dudes should be friends.
I would think so. And I don't know, did Kellen face BYU ever in his four-year career here on the Blue? I can't remember if that series, I know they played before that, and I know they got the series going after that, but Kellen's final year in college football was 2011. Taysom Hill's first year in college football at BYU was 2012, and I believe he went on a mission. Maybe he did not. Maybe he did. That's why he's as old as he is, but whatevs. Not here nor there either. But Taysom Hill, as a star quarterback in this state for a star program like Highland, they produced guys like Merrill Hodge. Taysom Hill was watching Kellen play when he was all 4 years of high school. He was probably the four-year starter or close to it at Highland. So, yeah, I bet Taysom Hill knows a hell of a lot. I should probably check that. A heck of a lot for Kellen, too. A heck of a lot about Kellen Moore. Taysom probably studied him big time. It's just, and I don't know if they're going to talk about that or what, but if they know each other or not. But there is, you'd think there's a little connection there.
Little update on the 2009 Heisman Trophy voting, because I knew everybody was curious.
Mark Ingram.
He was number one. Number two, Toby Gerhardt. That was the guy you were looking for. You nailed Colt McCoy. This list even gets better, though. You nailed Colt McCoy at number three.
Can I guess the other?
Number four? You're not going to guess number four, five, or six, or seven.
Michael Crabtree?
Nope. Four, Ndamukong Suh. Five, in his senior year, the old man getting old, Tim Tebow, followed by C.J. Spiller at number six, and checking in at number seven in the 2009 Heisman Trophy voting, Kellen Moore.
Okay, so Kellen Moore finished seventh.
He did.
I got Tebow. I forgot he was there. Right, he was still there in 09. That was his senior year.
Rounding out the top 10, Case Keenum at number 8, number 10, Golden Tate, and number 9. I don't even remember this dude. I don't even remember the name.
Number 9, man.
Who finished 9 in the 2009 Heisman Trophy voting?
Johnny Utah.
Marty Gilliard.
Marty Gilliard is a wide receiver for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Had a cup of coffee in the NFL. Marty Gilliard, yeah. He played for, I guess, Brian Kelly coached that Cincinnati team. And, oh, yeah, that Brian Kelly who left Cincinnati before they played in their bowl game against Tim Tebow in Florida got spanked because he was taking the Notre Dame job.
There you go.
It's funny how it all turns out. Taking your texts, 208-424-9300 on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Should you start Taysom Hill in fantasy football? Should you start, who else is playing? Predator Marking? Mark Ingram. In fantasy football tonight, we have an expert, Howard Bender of SiriusXM, of Roto Buzz Guy, of FantasyAlarm.com. He's with so many places I forget sometimes. He's with us every Thursday, and he's with us next. Don't miss this. Fantasy football, NFL football, KTIK The Ticket.
Sports Radio The Ticket will be on the move in 2022. Starting January 3rd, listen for Sports Radio The Ticket at 95.3 FM. Of course, you can also listen online through your smart speakers or the KTIK app.
Welcome back, Idaho Sports Talk. All guests courtesy of our Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, and we have one right now, Prater, every Thursday, giving us the lowdown on fantasy football. The great Howard Bender, SiriusXM, FantasyAlarm.com, at Roto Buzz Guy. And Howard, welcome to the program. We love talking fantasy and football with you. Happy holidays, and hope things are well.
Happy holidays to you boys as well. Hope you guys had a nice Thanksgiving, ate a lot of food, and are ready to talk some more football.
Well, that's just kind of normal for us around here. By the way, ball game, I don't mean to be blowing smoke up Benders, you know what, but is he our favorite guest of the week?
Top five.
Just five? Bender, what did you do to P.O. Johnny Ballgame? I got you number one. He's got you number five in our fantasy rankings.
Prates, it's always been you and me. We know it's always been you and me. If Ballgame is going to be jealous about the fact that we are kindred spirits, well, so be it.
Oh, God, I love you guys. I'm going to go to a Fish concert one of these days with you guys.
That'll change your world.
Hopefully I can remember some of that one. Bender, we got a juicy one tonight. Certainly a lot of Idaho ties we were talking about earlier on our program, so a lot of interest here for us, Dallas at New Orleans. I'll just start with Taysom Hill, the pride of Pocatello, Idaho, not far from where we are. He gets the start in fantasy. And what do you like? If you have quarterback issues, you want to roll the dice, you consider starting Taysom Hill tonight for your fantasy team. And how do you think he's going to do?
I mean, it really depends on how desperate you are to stream a quarterback in there to grab Taysom Hill. You know, the weaponry isn't really that strong. He's going to be without Alvin Kamara. Yeah, Mark Ingram's going to be there, but you know, I mean, we know the type of game that Taysom Hill plays, and one of the biggest issues, I think, right now is that both Terron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, the tackles, starting tackles, are both out for tonight. So, you know, running room could get a little bit more difficult, especially with the fact that Dallas is getting back DeMarcus Lawrence and the way Micah Parsons is playing. This could be a tough one for the running game for the Saints and for Taysom Hill.
So it sounds like you're staying away from folks who picked up Mark Ingram or even maybe a Dwayne Washington as a flex play on that waiver wire without Kumara tonight. Sounds like you're staying away from what the Saints are going to do offensively from a fantasy perspective.
You know, yes and no. You know, obviously with the number of guys, you know, four teams are out on a bye this week, so we're playing without, you know, some good quality guys. If you picked up Mark Ingram, you have to start him. I mean, I'm not going to say that the Dallas defense is going to shut these guys down. You know, you just have to temper expectations. Am I looking at Mark Ingram as rushing for, you know, 125 yards and two touchdowns? No, but can he possibly grab 50 to 60 yards and score? Yeah, he definitely can. So he stays in the game for me as a flex play for sure.
Talking fantasy football, Fantasy Corner right here with our good buddy Howard Bender, fantasyalarm.com. Let's keep the running back theme going, Howard. You know, we have this conversation every year, and we forecast it in August, and then we're still just the most stubborn people alive. And I feel for, like, my guy Ballgame, who had the first pick, and he had no choice. He had to take McCaffrey, but it never works, and we know it doesn't work. And now we got McCaffrey, Kamara, Henry, Cook, Saquon Barkley. I'm looking at the stats for the leaders of running backs in my fantasy league, and I'm looking at James Conner, DeAndre Swift, and Najee Harris. Are you kidding me? What have we learned from all this running back nonsense again?
We learned that you don't win your fantasy football league in the first two rounds of a draft. You win it with the deeper picks. And that's just, you know, because you can sit there and say, okay, well, next year, Najee Harris, Jonathan Taylor, those are going to be the top guys there. But what's to say that they don't fall, you know, victim to the same thing that we're seeing right now with, you know, Kamara and Zeke Elliott and, you know, McCaffrey and Cook and all of these guys. But, you know, what were you going to do? Were you going to take a quarterback early? Pat Mahomes certainly hasn't put up the numbers that, no, you know, you expected from him. You know, your wide receiver situation, somebody go find me DK Metcalf for crying out loud, and don't send Russell Wilson because he's not going to find him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so, you know, we're dealing with all of these, you know, situations where it's like, okay, you know, where do I go in this first round? Injuries are going to happen. Guys who sit there and get the heavy workloads, they're going to start breaking down earlier and earlier. It's a tougher game. You just have to, you know, I hate being pigeonholed into the McCaffrey pick at number one. Yeah. It drove me nuts. Yeah. But this is kind of, you know, where we're at right now, because if you bypass the guy and he stays healthy, well, then what happened? You just bypass the number one running back.
We've talked about the trend of this. Obviously, the NFL itself on the field is becoming more of a passing game. And you look at the stats on fantasy football, it's not like there's a ton of wide receivers in the top 20. There's a couple. And, you know, I mean, do we really expect Cooper Kupp to put out monster numbers for the next 5 years? No, I don't think so anyway. So is the trend of more wide receivers and less running back? I mean, I'm trying to get smarter for next fall, Bender, is what I'm trying to do here.
Oh, well, good luck.
Yeah, I'm putting you in charge of that, by the way. I mean, look at taking running back or wide receivers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 next year?
I don't think you can, because, you know, obviously you still need elite running back talent. I mean, look at what the Colts are doing right now. They're not doing what they're doing right now if they don't have Jonathan Taylor leading the way for them. So as a fantasy owner, you have to go with the guys who are going to touch the ball the most, the guys who are going to be given the greater opportunities. And you also have to look at the fact that it's a thin position. If there's one thing that you need to make sure of for next year, you're going to still take your running backs early. You have to be diligent about handcuffing your running backs to their backup. It's about investing in the system, in the team, not just investing in the player. So if you had Christian McCaffrey this year and you didn't draft Chuba Hubbard late, well, then you're an idiot, and you should have done that. If you drafted Zeke Elliott and you didn't add Tony Pollard, again, Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison, you know, these are situations that you need to make sure that you stay invested in. And if that kind of thins out your bench a little bit, well, then so be it. I'd rather have to worry about, you know, thin bench spots than to say, you see my top running back go down and have no backup plan for him.
Howard, what do you make of what's going on with Dallas? They still have the number one offense in the league in terms of yardage. They've slipped down to number two in points. They rank in the top 10 in a lot of major statistics, but they've lost three out of the last four. And in two of those games, Bender, they failed to score 20 points. I know they get maybe Murray Cooper back. What do you make? Is Dallas going to go back to being that Dallas offense tonight? Are you excited for them on a fantasy perspective?
I kind of am. You know, it's really kind of interesting. You know, this the way the situation kind of feeds off. Yeah, they've lost three out of four, but CeeDee Lamb was out with a concussion. Amari Cooper was out with COVID. You had Tyron Smith out on the offensive line. You had Lael Collins out for a little bit on the offensive line. So now as they're getting healthier and healthier, I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult to tend to them, you know, to take it to them. Now, I mean, listen, the Saints have a fantastic defense. They did lose Marcus Davenport for tonight. And Zeke Elliott does have a knee issue here. So, you know, as far as the passing scheme goes, I think that Dallas right now, I think they're going to get better protection for Dak. I think you've got all the weapons returning. So I do see them taking a big step forward now that everybody is back healthy.
We know that the NFL has been about parity for a long time, but I think we're seeing the effects of that this year more than ever before. How does it impact fantasy football? I mean, I'm looking at standings in our leagues. There's a whole bunch of 7-5, 5s and 7s, just like there is in real life in the NFL. Ballgame and I are in a fantasy hockey league, and nobody can move up or down because it seems like there's so much parity, and everybody's stuck in sixth place, it seems like. Has fantasy football been impacted by parity in the NFL?
I don't necessarily think so. I think the reason that you're seeing teams being better in fantasy, and you're seeing the clumping going on there, is the extensive coverage, the accessibility. I mean, what we've seen in this industry, you know, is a super saturation of the market of websites, advice people, you know, everything that's going to come up there for you to, you know, get your questions answered, yeah, whether it's free or you're using a paid subscription service.
Yeah.
There's a lot more information out there, and that in turn is making people better players, I think, in fantasy. And I think that people are staying more diligent to their league. I think that with the way that the industry is growing, with betting coming up as a possible, you know, legal in all 50 states at some point, I think people are starting to understand that you can actually make money playing fantasy sports. You can make money playing DFS, seasonal fantasy sports. You can bet on the games. And I think that, you know, I mean, it's what we do in America, right? We got dollar signs in our eyes. We're all ready to get rich nice and quick.
I love it. We're talking to a guy who does that right now, Howard Bender, fantasyalarm.com. Visit that site. Follow him at RotoBuzzGuy. He typically will return 99.9% of the tweets. You ask him for lineup advice. You can listen to him on SiriusXM and read him in the New York Post. Bender, enjoy Thursday. Enjoy week 13. And a week from today, right now, we'll be talking to each other again. So I can't wait for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. Always a pleasure to get to talk to both of you.
Jack Sears, former Boise State quarterback, in a half hour. He is scheduled to join our program. But first, let's get to JP in the news. How about this? A passing comment today by Boise State basketball coach Leon Rice has many of us wondering about the status of a current Boise State player. JP's got all the details, but first, not too late. Get that Zamzos Recharger. Apply it to your lawn and let it slow feed that sucker all winter long. When it wakes up in the spring, yep, you're going to have the greenest lawn in the neighborhood. 13 locations nobody knows like Zamzos.
Sports Radio The Ticket will never raise your subscription price because we're free. Putting money in your pocket every time you listen. Sports Radio The Ticket. From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Bob Beeler, Bronco Focus, coming up in about 12 minutes or so. Going to take a look at the Mountain West Championship game on Saturday. But first, Boise State basketball, they will look to stop a two-game losing streak. Friday night, they host Tulsa tomorrow at Extra Mile Arena. Leon Rice shook up the starting lineup on Tuesday, and Devenir Dutrieve came off the bench against St. Louis after he started the first six games. Coach Rice was asked about this at his Preston get-together today and gave a short answer, gave us a little thing of kind of scratching our heads a little bit.
Devenir, he came off the bench the other day, and I know it's kind of the year where going in, you knew his availability and all that stuff. How did he take kind of having to come off the bench the other night?
Yeah, we'll deal with that later. Is that a good answer, Walsh?
Great answer.
Great answer.
Is he still on the roster?
Any other questions?
When you hear he was asked, is he still on the roster, and Coach Rice just kind of blew by that, and here we are, scratching our heads.
And how many times is Mike Walsh going to get mentioned on this show this week, Prater? Like, seriously, dude. Seriously.
Yesterday he was a news item.
My gosh. Yeah, that's totally something. They're not ready to say whatever they're ready to say, but there's obviously something there. His body language, and I'm not a doctor of body language, but damn, I was sitting pretty close. You could tell that Devenir Dutrieve wasn't certainly happy with the situation, and he shouldn't be. You know, he was the odd man out. They had to make room for Dagan Hart to be in this starting lineup and play starter minutes. And he was kind of the odd man out there, and we'll see what happens with this, Prater. But, yeah, I mean, I think I'm not really sure how to decode what Leon said, but I don't think it's as difficult as I want to make it out to be. I think that sounded fairly obvious.
I mean, you can take what he said in a million different directions. And,
yeah.
You know, he's a senior. He's supposed to be a leader. If he's pouting on the bench and giving bad body language, then that's not a good sign for your teammates. And if I was a coach, I'd be fired up about that as well. He got benched because he can't shoot. His staff, I mean, he's like the second leading scorer and the third leading rebounder on this basketball team, but his shooting percentage is terrible. And this basketball team can't shoot anything. So I applaud Coach Rice for at least trying to mix things up, try to get some shooting going. It worked, too. It worked. And if you're a senior and you're pouting because you lost your starting job in a basketball season, that's probably not the kind of guy you want around. By the way, you said they've lost two in a row at home?
Yes.
It's like the football team. When was the last time the football team and the basketball team each had three-game losing streaks at home?
In the same year?
Yeah.
I saw a tweet that 2012, I believe, is the last time that the basketball team had lost three.
I didn't ask that, JP. Oh.
Well, that would be part of your answer. Well, it couldn't be any sooner than that.
He's giving you half the correct answer. Give him half the credit.
I don't get Jack squat around here.
I don't give 100% credit around here, let alone half credit.
Maybe you got to go back to what conference? The WAC? The Big Sky? Boise State never lost three in a row at home in the WAC.
Well, you'd have to go back to 97-98 football because that's when it happened in football. And 97-98, I believe those were Roberto years, so I don't think the basketball team, they may have, but and it's not that big a stat. It was just more of a curiosity.
Yeah, interesting. Tomorrow against Tulsa.
Well, Brett McMurphy reports that the NCAA is adding a 42nd bowl game. 42. That means that everybody that's eligible to play in a bowl game will get to play in a bowl game, including 6-7 Hawaii, who will now get to stay at home to face Memphis in the Hawaii Bowl. And as it's being reported by BJ Raines, that means that's one of the reasons that he's hearing that the famous Idaho Potato Bowl is a possible potential destination for Boise State.
The bowl season.
What is going on here? They're just adding bowl games at the last second?
That part's weird, but you know, bowl shuffling and bowl mysteries have been a part of this sport for 40 years. But adding a bowl game,
I mean,
I'll tell you what that means. It comes down to one thing and one thing only, whether we like it or not: the power of ESPN.
Yes.
Period. End of conversation. Absolutely. That's all it is. Okay. We could sit here and speculate all we want. You could have whatever whack job idea you want. JP could come up with. This is ESPN flexing its muscle and showing that it is truly in charge of college football.
And they can just invent a bowl game less than 3 weeks before the bowl game is going to be played, essentially.
Yes,
just,
sir. Yes.
Hey, put it together. Let's make our money. We have an open availability there for TV inventory. We need it to fill it. Hell, we'll put it on ESPNU if we have to. We don't give a rip. We just want our revenue from there. And
They said the bowl game will be played somewhere in the Dallas area. Time TBD, date TBD, sponsor TBD, television TBD. But damn it, here's a 40-second bowl game. So 6-7 Hawaii can stay home. It probably makes sense to keep Hawaii at home. Memphis is already flying from Memphis to Hawaii for the bowl game in a high school bleachers practice field.
Yep.
We probably don't need to be sending two.
I'm going to go out on a limb right
now. You ain't going to stand in a stage in a microphone for this guy. He's like doing stand-up comedy tonight. Jeez, man.
I'm going to go out on a limb that Wyoming is going to play in this TBD Texas Bowl.
Well, I think Fresno State is the lowest of the lowest in the Mountain West because they have a lame duck coach. Well, they have a lame duck. They don't have a coach or a quarterback. And Craig Thompson knows that.
Yeah.
And Craig Thompson can make all these rules. And Craig Thompson, if I was Craig Thompson, I would say, you go there.
I'd say, screw you, yahoo. Yeah, Fresno, get your butt wherever we're going to tell you. Yeah. There's no draw whatsoever for Fresno football right now. No coach, no quarterback. Put them in the barstool.com game.
I would do on New Year's Day.
Arizona Bowl.
On New Year's Eve Day on the internet. I would put Fresno State there. I think Wyoming is probably destined for... Well, I know Nevada's not coming to the Potato Bowl. They've been here 2 years in a row. So they're not going to send Nevada here 3 years in a row.
Is it 2 years in a row?
Double check that, but I think they have been here 2 years in a row. So eliminate Nevada, and I think you're probably looking at, I mean, if it's not a Boise State, you're probably looking at a Utah State or a Wyoming.
Hmm. Hawaii doesn't have a quarterback either.
Nope.
But they do have a coach.
Yep, and they have several others on
and they've got
roster,
a high school stadium. They get to stay home.
I wouldn't say stadium. They have bleachers on a practice field.
They have
high school bleachers on a practice field.
Yep. At least the kids get to go to Hawaii, and those kids in Memphis, I'm sure probably 99% of them have never been to Hawaii before.
Yeah, and it's great for them.
So it's great for the kids. And, hell, Boise, if they want to play this thing in the Potato Bowl, whether they want to or not, if they're going to play there, I think that's good for KTIK, guys. I don't need another game to go to and whatever. Fun stuff there. Coming up. What's up with the Mountain West Championship game? That's on Saturday. Bob Beeler, he's going to break this thing down like only Bob Beeler can do, and he's doing it next. Jack Sears will join us at 4 p.m. That's in about 20 minutes. Don't miss that as well. That's why you're listening to Idaho Sports Talk on KTIK, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. This is Bronco Focus with the voice of Boise State Athletics, Bob Beeler.
Bronco Focus, Bob Beeler with us. And Beeler, talking Mountain West Conference Championship. And I know our audience would love to be throwing in Boise State here. Didn't happen this year. We get Utah State, San Diego State, 1 p.m. on a little place called Fox. What do you got for us on this? Welcome.
Well, yeah, I'm disappointed too, as everybody else is. I thought Boise State maybe was going to get to the championship game at the start of the year. Never would have guessed Utah State getting there. They came out of nowhere, 9-3, certainly helped by the schedule. And San Diego State, easily the most consistent team in the Mountain West. They're the one that's ranked, guys, and they are 11-1. So let's get to the preview for the Mountain West Championship and see who gets it.
Number one.
Guys, I think the most fascinating thing in this championship game is which quarterback is Brady Hoke going to start. He substituted in Jordan Brookshire last week against Boise State for Lucas Johnson. In the game, Johnson was very pedestrian. They were losing 16-3, 9-for-20 for 98 yards passing. Brookshire, who had been benched, he did not do well when he started in the four games he started. went 11 of 15 for 192. If they don't make that change, in my opinion, we have Air Force taking on Fresno State this week in the championship game. So I think it's fascinating. Does Hoke decide to ride the hot hand and bring Brookshire back to start, or does he go back to Johnson? I think that's the question of the game.
Absolutely. That's a great point that you bring up, and I'm glad that's number one, Beeler. And I think you said on this show earlier this week that, you know, Brady Hoke making that move was the decision of the year in the conference, and part of the reason you voted Brady Hoke for Coach of the Year in this conference.
And now he's got to do it again. He's got to come up with the decision, who he's going to start first. Because it was so early in the game, I think he's going to go with Brookshire and play the hot hand. But Johnson had done fairly well leading up to it, so we'll see what the Aztecs do, and I think that's going to be the strategic decision of the game this week.
Number two.
What kind of home field are the Aztecs actually going to have? The game's going to be at 1 o'clock Mountain Time, noon Pacific Time. And they've averaged about 10, 11,000. Now, my experience with Boise State is they have to resell tickets. So anybody with season tickets doesn't necessarily have to buy the tickets. Are we going to have a crowd of 5 or 6,000? Is there going to be no energy in the building at Carson? And is it going to benefit one team or another? Or is it just going to seem like a minor bowl game with no crowd, no energy, no nothing in the game?
What do you think on that? I mean, if you're Utah State and you're Gary Anderson, I'm sorry, if you're Utah State and you're Blake Anderson, I mean, are you bringing that up to your team, and maybe that gives them some type of an advantage? I know San Diego State's a 5.5-point favorite in this thing, but you know, it'll be interesting to see how big a factor that is. I think it probably leans toward the Aggies, right?
Probably helps them because the Aztecs have played games with no fans, and I think that, you know, you look at the game with Boise State, you know, they had 11,000 in there. I'll give them that they didn't overfudge the crowd, but it sure seemed to me that there weren't that many more Aztec people in there than Bronco people, so I don't think they're going to get the bump of a championship game that maybe some teams do, even if they, you know, like Boise State, even when they get 25,000 instead of 30-plus thousand, that, you know, it's just not the same because it's not going to be a real partisan crowd.
Number three.
And I'm going to go back to the Boise State-San Diego State game and look at the Boise State playmakers, because this is where I think Utah State is going to have to make its bones if they're going to win the game on offense. The playmakers for Boise State: Bachmeier, Shakir, and Helani. Bachmeier went 21 of 40 for 222 yards, two touchdowns, but they pressured him into two interceptions, three sacks, and I don't know how many hits. Shakir did most of his damage in the first half when Boise State was ahead. Six catches for 74 yards, but San Diego State certainly would live with that. And Helani had 20 for 70. If you look at the playmakers for Utah State, Bonner is completing 60% of his passes for an average of 270 a game, 32 touchdowns. And Devin Tompkins actually averaging more yards than Khalil Shakir, averaging 129 yards receiving. I think for Utah State to win this game, I think the playmakers are going to have to be considerably better for Utah State than the playmakers were for Boise State.
Yeah, and I think that's probably an advantage San Diego State if we're throwing around advantages here. In terms of the playmakers, I think Boise State's playmakers are better than Utah State's playmakers. And with San Diego State in that defense, that 3-3-5, and don't forget, Boise State had the advantage of playing that defense the week before. And obviously Utah State knows about that defense, can prepare for that defense, but hasn't faced it live. So in this particular case, that might favor San Diego State in this 3-3-5 defense, Bob.
And again, Utah State hasn't played in the last year or two, and certainly not under Blake Anderson. And I think seeing that defense is akin to seeing the option. They are so different, and if you haven't coached against it or played against it, I think you're at a disadvantage.
Agreed.
Number four.
My questions are on both teams. How good is San Diego State this year? They seem to do just enough to win every game. For Utah State, my question is how good are they? Because I don't think they've really played a lot of people, and here are my numbers. Since mid-October, San Diego State had to beat four of the best teams in the Mountain West: Air Force, Nevada, Boise State, which they accomplished, Fresno State, they lost by 10, but those were four of the best teams in the league. Who has Utah State played since the first weekend in October? They played three good teams the last part of September. They went 1-2 and got beat pretty handily by Boise State, pretty solidly by BYU, and they did squeak a win out against Air Force. but it's been marshmallows since. UNLV, Colorado State, Hawaii, New Mexico State, San Jose, Wyoming, and New Mexico to finish. San Diego State has played the tougher schedule, especially when you throw Utah in. I just wonder what Utah State has done resume-wise to compare with San Diego State.
I would agree with that, and we spent a lot of time this season talking about Utah State, who definitely got the advantage with their schedule. That was before the season even started, based on who they were playing. The only thing that really, something like that helps, is the confidence. If you start winning, and it doesn't matter, if you're a 20-year-old kid and you're beating up somebody on a college football field, you're going to build some confidence, and Utah State has to feel really, really good about itself right now. It has to have all the confidence in the world. I don't care. You know, we know that they don't care who they played, who they beat, how they got here. They're feeling it, Bob. So, to your point, I think it shows that San Diego State's the better team, X's and O's on paper, but Utah State's got it going on upstairs, I think.
And Bonner is a quarterback that I think is a playmaker. He kind of reminds me of a Brett Favre-style quarterback. You're going to scratch your head at some of the throws he makes, like he did against Boise State, where he's maybe going to get picked off or get sacked because he's going to try to, you know, spin straw into gold. But he has the capabilities of doing that, so I give Utah State a chance, but this is San Diego State's year, guys. The defense, by far better than anybody's defense in the league. I would be shocked. Maybe shocked is too hard of the word. Surprised if Utah State won.
I would definitely, going back to your original question, I would definitely start Brookshire. Keep that momentum going. And back to the Utah State situation, they're razor thin, and maybe you know about this a little bit, Johnny. Peasley's out. I mean, he got hurt, right? He's out. Utah State suddenly doesn't have a backup quarterback going against that physical San Diego State defense. If he gets hurt, if Bonner gets hurt, it's definitely lights out for the Aggies.
And the Aggies play, excuse me, and the Aztecs playing for something. If Utah, excuse me, if Cincinnati were to get beat by Houston, San Diego State could be sitting in for a New Year's Six.
Wow.
Now, whether Houston could jump them is a possibility, but San Diego State would be sitting there at 12-1 if they win this game.
That's the draw for me in this game. And I would ask you, you know, on a Mountain West interest level, you know, scale of 1 to 10, what you would have on this game. Because you do have that caveat there for San Diego State, Bob. As a Mountain West guy, what's your interest level? 10, you can't miss it. 1, you don't even pay attention. Where are you on that scale?
5.
Okay, yeah.
Right in the middle. Not thrilled with the matchup, but want to see how it goes.
I want to see how Brady Hoke and that defense can slow down that Bonner to Tompkins connection. Tompkins led the nation in receiving yards this year. Number one. Bob, you're the best. I really appreciate this. And actually, Prater, I feel a little smarter about this game. I feel better. I think I might tune in a little more than I would have before that. So, yeah.
And you're crediting Bob for that?
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, we all credit Bob around here. He makes us smarter every single day, ballgame.
Bob, appreciate you, man. Good stuff, Bob Beeler, Prater, and from one, you know, kind of, you know, Mountain West conversation to another, weird saying, former Boise State quarterback Jack Sears getting ready to hop on with us.
Yeah, he's going to join us here at 4:00, and we're going to talk to him. Obviously, the news yesterday that he has entered into the transfer portal, and he's agreed to join us. We've had him on before. Good dude.
Yep.
Never really got a chance to know him, and I think whether it's us or the fans or even the football coaches, I mean, it seems like there's a big fat incomplete here for a guy that deserves a little bit more, but it's not like it's anybody's fault. Competition, this is what happens in competition sometime, and Jack is a big boy, and Jack's going to take his medicine. Jack's going to go find a better future, go find a place to play. I hope he gets a place to play at a high level. I would love to see that guy get one big-time season and then see if he can end up in a camp somewhere.
Yep.
And see if he can keep on playing football. That dude has been robbed of some football, and he's shown us enough to think that we can play a lot of football. And I'm looking forward to talking to him.
And leaving Boise State after 2 years with a master in business administration, not too shabby.
No!
Jack
for
Sears.
Too, right?
Yep, Jack Sears. Scheduled to join us next. We'll also have Lee Sterling with ParamountSports.com next hour. And Bonefish Grill, $50 for rock jocks and pop culture, a little trivia. It's all next hour. We're Prater on the Ball Game. This is Idaho Sports Talk. You're tuned in. Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. Did you hear what Boise State Athletic Director Jeremiah Dickey said on Idaho Sports Talk?
We want Albertson Stadium to be the most difficult place to play in the country. I want 36,500 people in the stands. That impacts us in so many ways, and the onus is on us to create an experience that continues to drive that mentality. And we're going to continue to do that.
Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ball Game. Weekdays at 3 on Sports Radio The Ticket.
What's going on? And welcome to what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program, Idaho Sports Talk. Prater and the Ball Game right here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Now, Prater, you know, we've had some big name guests on this show over the last few months or however many, but I'll tell you this. I'm as excited to talk to our next guest as any of those. And let's welcome him on our Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline. Now, former Boise State quarterback Jack Sears joins us. He is in the transfer portal and has left the program as of yesterday. And, Jack, I know it's been a whirlwind last 24 hours or so for you. We appreciate you being a big boy and being mature and coming on and wanting to talk to us about this. So, first and foremost, before we have some fun, thanks for coming on, Jack. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, it's been fun to listen to you guys on occasion and all your support for the program over the last couple of years. So appreciate you guys having me on.
Jack, we get this decision. Anybody who spends any time on Boise State totally understood when they heard, you know, how and why you were leaving. But still, with that said, was it a difficult decision to make? I mean, you spent a couple of pretty good years here, man.
Yeah, I think it's difficult from the perspective that I've really enjoyed my time in Boise, you know, as a Boise State student athlete, but also just as a resident here in Boise, you know, exploring this beautiful state and getting to experience a lot of things I don't get to experience back home in California. So it was tough to know that this chapter is coming to an end, but it wasn't difficult knowing that, you know, I got to do what's best for me and take that next step in my life and figure out what that will be.
We're talking to former Boise State quarterback Jack Sears, a USC transfer, put his name in the transfer portal yesterday and trying to find another place to play some college football. Jack, everybody's had a chance to opine and talk about you and your future and your place on this football team. Let's hear it from you. Let's talk about the last 2 years, you trying to beat out Hank Bachmeier, it not working, you getting on the field, injuries taking place. It's been crazy, dude, and everybody agrees that you deserve more. So let's hear it from your perspective. The last 2 years on the football field, what went right and what went wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was recruited here 2 years ago with the opportunity to compete for the starting job after Hank's freshman year. You know, he only had, I believe, 6 or 7 games under his belt, so it was a pretty open QB competition. But the whole COVID whirlwind, shutting down summer workouts, you know, fall camp being all over the place, games being canceled here and there, and an unfortunate injury against BYU. But, you know, I've learned a lot here and grown a lot as a quarterback, and then unfortunately went through another coaching change, my fifth QB coach in 5 years and third head coach in 5 years. So, you know, college football is an unpredictable beast, but that's the beauty of it, and you never know what's going to happen.
Jack, talk about why it's necessary to make this move now. Obviously, Boise State season isn't over. They have another bowl game, and I'm sure they wanted you to be a part of it. But we all know the landscape. You called it, what, the beast of college football. We got coaches that aren't even staying with their team during CFP runs. So, Jack, just explain to the fan base. I'm sure, like, again, it was a difficult decision, but why it was necessary for you to leave this program when you did and get in the transfer portal and look for what's next now.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have loved to be able to stay on and play this bowl game and finish this year out with everybody, but unfortunately with early signing period and how the transfer portal works, a lot of programs don't want guys in the portal finishing out season with the team. So I've talked to Coach Avalos and Coach Pyle at length, and that was the verdict on that. So I had to do with early signing period coming up, had to enter my name into the portal and see what's out there. You have coaches leaving Oklahoma for USC, mid college football playoff run, Brian Kelly leaving for LSU, and other coaches, you know, applying to other jobs and having those interviews, but are still staying with their team. So it's kind of the landscape of college football nowadays, especially at quarterback, only one of you plays. And, you know, the sooner you get your name into the portal, the better opportunities you're going to have out there, because as soon as one guy goes somewhere else, you lose that opportunity.
Talking to Jack Sears, Boise State's former quarterback, now in the transfer portal. Jack, let's address the elephant in the room here. in terms of the competition, by all accounts, you've been a fantastic teammate. And by all accounts, you and Hank Bachmeier have gotten along pretty well all the way back to high school days when you kicked his ass on a football field. Do you think you're a better quarterback than Hank Bachmeier?
I think every quarterback thinks they're the best quarterback in the room and best quarterback in the conference and probably in college. I think that's the mentality you have to have. Hank's done a tremendous job this year and grown a lot, and I'm excited for his future and what he's able to do. And you know, I'm hopeful for the opportunity that I can go out and show what I can do.
Jack, you've seen the highest of the Power Five at USC. You've seen the highest of the Group of Five, let's be honest, here at Boise State. What is Jack Sears looking for in the next phase to finish his college football career? What boxes does Jack Sears need checked?
Been granted a unique opportunity to have one more year due to the COVID year. And obviously I want to go somewhere that I can play and that has a winning tradition and great culture and that I can showcase my talents and utilize what I can do as a passer and a runner and an athlete overall.
Jack, do you have any kind of specific schools in mind? If you did, would you want to share them? Do you care if you play P5, Group of Five, East, West, North, South? I mean, what is your wish list?
We just love to play football. You know, that's the main goal. And I entered my name into the portal last night, so I haven't really heard too much from schools due to the protocol with the portal. So I'm planning on hearing from schools here in the next couple of weeks, especially as bowl games come to a conclusion and coaches land in their new spots.
Jack, I've followed you closely, and we've talked a little bit, and I saw on senior night, Andy Avalos spent twice as much time talking in your ear than any other senior. My board op, JP, noticed it too. And you don't have to give me the gory details, but in Cliff Notes version, what did Coach Avalos say to you before you walked on the blue on senior night? It looked like he spent a good 20, 30 seconds talking to you, Jack.
Yeah, a lot of that will keep between myself and him, but, just to enjoy it and that he appreciates everything I've done for the program and the Blue is a special place and I'll never forget my time there and especially senior night running out in front of the fans for one last time and just to kind of take it all in and get ready.
Jack, I'm not sure how much you've ever addressed this in public and you certainly don't have to if you're here, but do you ever think about San Diego State, what happened and why? I know there was a coaching change. Did you have a choice to stay? Was that their choice? What happened at San Diego State? And do you ever look back and think, what if?
Yeah, I don't spend too much time in the past thinking what if I would have done this, what if that would have happened, because I don't believe that gets you very far in life and I don't think that helps things. Coming from SC, there was a lot of coaching turnover, a lot of change, and they've had a lot of success this year, but usually that's not the case when you go through a coaching change like that. And I was recruited to SDSU by a quarterback coach that left 2 days after I committed. And then, Rocky Long left and went to New Mexico. And then a couple other coaches there that I've been in contact with in those relationship also left. So they said there was a spot still there for me, but I believed it was in my best interest to pursue other options, and that brought me to Boise State, which I'm very thankful for.
Jack Sears joining us, and last year, October 31st, I believe it was, Halloween night on 2020, one of the great quarterback performances in the history of Boise State football, 17 for 20, 280 yards passing, 3 teeters, no picks, and you ran for 36 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Jack, after that game, maybe on the flight home from Colorado Springs, were you thinking, okay, I got my chance, I did what I did, and if I stay healthy, this is my team from here on out?
Yeah, I've been fortunate in college to make the most of my opportunities when they came, whether it was ASU or Air Force, and I was excited for the future, especially to go and compete against a great BYU team last year and showcase my talents, but unfortunately that didn't happen, and I was looking forward to trying to continue to win over that team and earn that spot and take that spot, but that's not how it worked out, and that's just how it goes sometimes.
Jack, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because you got to find a football team and then play a football season, but do you have NFL dreams? Are you thinking that if you can find the right situation and get yourself on a football field that you'd like to keep playing football for as long as you possibly can?
Absolutely. I love this game. I've loved it for a long time and dedicated a significant portion of my life to it. So, of course, that's the angle. I think it is for all college athletes, especially when it comes to football. But it's been proven that all you need is one good season and your draft stock can go through the roof, or, you know, in some cases it can go to the ground. But I think that all I need is a couple more games and another season to showcase what I can do and hopefully get a shot.
Jack, would you consider an FCS program, maybe in the Big Sky, you know, maybe in California, maybe still in the Northwest, or I don't know, in like Moscow, Idaho or something? Jack, would you consider FCS?
You know, I haven't thought too much about where I'd go, or, you know, I just know my checklist and that I have to have conversations with coaches, and I would love to play for any program that believes in my abilities and what I can do and that I believe is the right fit for me. So, door's open.
Jack, I hope this isn't a loaded question. I'm not digging for dirt, but let's talk about Tim Plow for a second, and mostly just this offense. We're all very curious. There's pros and cons all over the place. We saw this new offense, and in his own words, it didn't always work, and when it worked, it looked beautiful. You're a coach. You're a smart football guy. Tell me what you saw from this offense. What makes it work? What makes it not work? Where it needs to get better, and Tim Plow's role in that?
I think Coach Plow is a great guy. I think he cares a lot about his players and developing as football players and as men. And I think he's done a tremendous job in that quarterback room and for the offense. And it's tough coming into a new program, trying to install your offense and your scheme and get everybody to buy in. I think a lot of the players have bought into the system and that it obviously needs a couple tweaks here and there, but I think he'll work tirelessly at that over the next couple months and for next season to get it right. And like anything, I think there needs to be a great balance. A great run game helps the quarterback in the pass game, and a great pass game helps running backs get yards. So find that balance and utilizing guys' skill sets and maybe, you know, getting the quarterback out on the move a little bit more or more involved in some of the run game could help. You know, it's just the Mountain West is a different speed in the Big Sky, and I think that we learned that this year, and it's going to keep getting better for Boise State's offense in the coming years.
When they talk about this RPO and how it works under the Tim Plow system, do you feel like your skill set matched that system really well?
I don't think that the system really utilizes an athletic quarterback, a quarterback that wants to play on the move and extend plays. The RPO is more, you know, hand it off and let some of the great backs here get loose or get the ball out to your playmakers like, you know, Shaq, Steph, and Ock. So that's more the RPO when you talk about it from that perspective.
Was Shaq better than any receiver you played with at USC, or at least really damn close, Jack Sears?
Yeah, Shaq could play almost anywhere he wants, and I'm excited for what he's going to do at the next level. I think his work ethic, personality, and, of course, skill set are going to take him a long way.
Jack, I just want to say this, and, you know, for whatever team you're going to go to, you know, how are you a better person after these 2 years in Boise? I know you're leaving with an MBA, so I know you're probably more astute academically, you're smarter. But, Jack, I never saw you pout. I never saw poor body language. I saw you at practice all the time. Like, you know, I got to commend you for that, and just tell me, what did you learn about yourself these last 2 years? Your heart was obviously broken, but you were at least a pro about it and a big boy, and you're going to take that, I assume, to your next stop. What'd you learn, Jack?
Yeah, I learned that there's a lot more life than football here in Boise, Idaho. As a whole, you can go anywhere and kind of escape from football. You can escape from the big city. You can escape from the pressure of it all and just get away and, you know, really find confidence in who you are and what you believe in and just staying true to yourself. And I've made some wonderful relationships here and I'll cherish forever and that I'm sure I'll take with me to the next step. And I think Boise will always have a special place in my heart and I look forward to coming back as much as I can.
The last time we had you on, the only time we've had you on, I think you talked about sneaking away and maybe it was last holiday break. You went up to Montana to go skiing. You mentioned here that you've got a chance to get out and about and check out some of this state. We obviously love this state and that was a great opportunity for you. What's been the best part of the last 2 years here for you in terms of this entire experience? What's when you walk away 5 years from now, what are the positive memories for Jack Sears?
All the people, you know, just walking on the street, everybody smiling at you, how everybody's outdoors, enjoying the beautiful scenery and the support for Boise State. You can't go anywhere here without seeing people in their Boise State gear, stickers on their car, asking about the game, and just support, you know. Whether it was good times or bad times, everybody was positive about the program and wished you luck, and just wanted the best for you as a person, not only as a player.
Jack, final thing here for me, and you know, when you made this decision, I'm sure you went to your parents and your inner circle, and you informed Coach Avalos. Did you talk to Hank beforehand? Have you talked to Hank since, whether it's a text or a phone call? If so, what was that like when you told Hank, "Hey, man, I'm moving on"?
Yeah, I don't think it was a surprise to him. Him and I have been pretty open about everything that's going on, whether it be games or outside of football or, you know, transferring. It's just not really a surprise in this day and age, especially with quarterbacks. But, you know, we got a lot of respect and appreciation for each other, and we want to see each other succeed. So, you know, just wish me the best, and I wish him the best, and excited to see how it all plays out.
I know it's nothing but speculation, but that's what we do best around here. But just very generically, do you expect Hank Bachmeier and Taylen Green to be in a quarterback battle next fall?
I think any program that wants the best out of their offense and defense and special teams should always have positions up for a position battle. And I would expect that Coach Avalos and Coach Plow want to continue to breed competition in this program and in that quarterback room. And, you know, I'm sure they'll let it play out how it will.
Well, we really appreciate this, and appreciate you being the man you are, Jack, and coming on here. And, you know, maybe it wasn't, you know, obviously it didn't end out the way you wanted it to, but it seems like you're an even better person now. We're going to keep tabs on you, Sears, and hopefully when you find a new school or close to it, maybe we can bring you back on Idaho Sports Talk and check back in. And until then, man, best of luck, dude. Really appreciate you coming on like this.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me, and don't be afraid to reach out.
Absolutely. Jack Sears with us. Yeah, good dude, man.
Great stuff, man. I wish we feel this way about a lot of backup quarterbacks. And
yeah,
we go all the way back to, you know, Nate Sparks and B.J. Rohde, and just, I mean, we could go on forever and ever and ever. But that guy, that name will not be forgotten around here for a long, long time.
I agree.
And for as long as he stepped on the football field, that's a pretty remarkable impact. And a pretty cool dude.
4 for 4 for 41 yards against BYU in a scoreless game when he went down, and it'll just be a big what if. And that is why you listen to Idaho Sports Talk. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Next, KTIK The Ticket.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Fall Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
Welcome back, Idaho Sports Talk. Prater and the Ball Game. By the way, that Jack Sears interview will be up, Prater, on KTIK.com fairly shortly.
Right now, buddy. It's already there.
It's already up. Okay, great stuff. And let's move on to our next guest. Oh, I love this guy. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Look at the schedule of college football and NFL games this weekend. Super juicy. And Lee, we really appreciate your time today, my friend. We didn't get you last week, but how are you today, my friend?
I went 17-0.
Yeah.
<Just kidding.
laughs> I love it.
Don't you love talking to gamblers? I get calls from a couple of my friends, like, I won every game. I'm like, why is it whenever you give me games before the game start, you have trouble hitting 50%? And then you go undefeated when I don't talk to you.
I got a buddy. The only time he calls me or lets me know of his gambling is when he wins. You know, that's the only time, you sucker.
We're all guilty there a little bit.
When do you hear from him? Once every 8 weeks?
Yeah. All right, Lee. We got a big slate. ParamountSports.com. Go there. Look at it. Sign up. Get the best information in the business from our man. I'm going to start with the Big Ten Championship. Yep. Holy neutral site, Michigan and Harbaugh laying 10 in the hook against Iowa. Is that a lot of points, Lee? What do you like about this?
So I'm looking for every reason to back Iowa. I mean, they have a really good defense. In fact, the last two times they played Michigan, 2016 they won 14-13. In 2019, they only lost 10-3. But I think this is a different Michigan team. they executed the game plan perfectly last week. They got two running backs in Haskins and Corum combined for over 2,100 yards. And that defense, I mean, once they get a lead, here's the problem for Iowa. Once they fall behind by double digits, it's all over. I mean, they'll pin their ears back. Aiden Hutchinson and his mates, 32 sacks on the year. They held opponents to 54% completion percentage and only 3 yards a carry running the football the last four games. So I just think the Iowa quarterbacks are pedestrian at best, Spencer Petras and Alex Padilla. I know about history, how great Iowa is a dog here, but this is a different level here. Not Saturday night. Michigan big, 34-13.
I love it, Lee. Okay, SEC championship. Georgia versus Bama, a game we probably could have predicted back in August. What gets me, though, is the Georgia Bulldogs only favored by 6.5 points. Lee, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, usually, you know, the first thought is when you see better quarterback, better coach, you back that team. But every other position, Georgia's just better. I'm watching this team the last month, and LSU came up with some great blitz schemes, and then Auburn, you know, they added some more. I mean, they scored 20 points against LSU, 22-3 overtimes against Auburn. They only had 3 points with 30 seconds to go in the game here. Georgia is an absolutely different animal on defense, and their offense, I mean, is good this year. How about this? Their first, third, second, and first in total rushing, passing, and scoring offense. So I think Alabama is going to get put away here. I think that you're going to see the coaching staff for Georgia just want to pile it on. They want to make sure that this is a 3-4 touchdown burial, and no one is even considering voting Alabama in here. Just like Ohio State dominated Michigan for a decade, I know Alabama did it to Georgia, but those trends are just history. Georgia big, 31-17.
Wow, Lee, that'll be a good one. All right, big college football weekend, and we're trying to make you guys some cash with Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Lee, let's switch to the last college game of the day. This one makes me nervous, nervous, nervous. Utah, Pac-12 title game in Vegas, -2.5 versus the Ducks. It's a rematch.
Yeah. So normally a rematch, you look at the team that lost the first game, but I think that they could be distracted here. So, you know, they were held, the Ducks were just 63 yards in that loss, and they average over 200 yards rushing per game. I think the matchups favor Utah. I mean, are they going to have that home crowd like they had in that game? No, I mean, that was crazy. But special teams edges there, and I think there's a good chance Mario Cristobal's heading to Miami. So I think don't be surprised if Monday you see this pairing. Gino Toretta is the athletic director, and he's never done anything like that, but he is a businessman with Mario Cristobal. But I think the Utes are just too strong here in the trenches. Better quarterback play, too. Better special teams. Give me the Utes here, 31-24.
We brought up Cristobal and Toretta yesterday. You really think, because we're hearing some of that here on this side of the country as well, you think that that's going to happen?
Well, first of all, I think they've got to make a move by Monday or Tuesday. I mean, with signing day the 15th,
yeah.
And it's just too quiet. I don't know if you heard Mario Cristobal was in here, I think, last Sunday to see his mom who was sick. And, you know, they were tracking his plane, you know, where he went. You know, there's people that will sit there and it looks like he was meeting someone at a location that wasn't on the University of Miami, that wasn't at his mom's house. So I have a feeling he's met with these people, and I think he's going to take it if offered. I think he wants the challenge. I mean, say whatever you want, but, you know, the college football landscape, Miami still matters, and this is the last chance Miami has to make a go of it, and I think they're going to go big.
Big NFL game tonight, lots of Idaho connections. You got Kellen Moore from Boise State versus Taysom Hill from down the road in Pocatello, Idaho. Cowboys -4.5 against the Saints, Lee.
Great move by New Orleans to go with Hill at quarterback. He's the only guy that gives him any chance at all in this game because, you know, they're without their best two offensive linemen, two offensive tackles, and that's going to be really tough against the pass rush. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be back for Dallas. And Dallas, who I loved for a while, I knew they were going to be in trouble. I mean, you're missing your top two receivers. I mean, it's really tough to play in the NFL with just your third, fourth, and fifth guy. So with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb back, I think they're going to be clicking on all cylinders here. And Taysom Hill, unless he hits on some huge plays and has the game of his life, I think Dallas is the right side, 31-20.
He likes a lot of favorites so far. Lee Sterling, professional handicapper, ParamountSports.com. Okay, let's talk to about my Seahawks, Lee. And the San Francisco 49ers favored by 3. Gosh, I love this. Lee, I'm going to bet $500 that the Niners win this game by 4 or more points. Lee, are you going to talk me off the ledge or are you going to encourage me?
Encourage you. jump. saying let Russ cook, I mean, it's going to be Russ is cooked. I mean, this team just doesn't look the same. I mean, great play he made to make a game of it in the end there, but I think he's having some trouble with his thumb. I mean, it's just not been the same. And you know, you watch this defense. They're making some plays here, but San Francisco, even without Samuel, I just think they're going to have some guys step up. I think they're going to dominate the line of scrimmage here. And like I said, coaching. I just don't think Seattle's preparing their teams. I don't like the play calling here. I just don't. How do you not? You know, you've got a weapon at receiver.
Ugh.
How do you not use him? How do you not throw to him till the end of the third quarter? Just doesn't make sense here. Give me San Francisco. Low scoring game though. 21-13.
Lee, the game of the week, you're in on this as much as any other game. This is your special. It's Kansas City -10 versus Denver. How do they get the info?
Yeah, anyone wants to get this game for free, just call 800-400-9741. We'll give you this game for free. This is a time where Lee cooks. We call it Double Down December. Last year, from the start of December through the Super Bowl, we won 36 of the last 47 games. So you want to hop on board. Now's the time. You can get all of December, $297. And this year, the Super Bowl is being played in mid-February, an extra week added to the NFL season. You get everything through the Super Bowl, just $497. Love to have you along for the ride. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
You're the best. Thanks, Lee. That's Lee Sterling.
Okay, thanks, guys.
ParamountSports.com. Couple of things just real quick. Dude, he's like in that Mario Cristobal is going to go back to Miami where he's from and where he played and where his former teammate and buddy Gino Toretta is the AD and is probably going to say, hey, come down here. Let's get the U back and do whatever the hell you want.
This is no indication about how tomorrow night's game is going to go, but according to I got a couple of good sources in Eugene, and Mario's kind of lost this football team.
Damn.
You know, Mario is one of those demanding, respectful guys. It's almost like one of those emotional guys. It's just emotions. And that only works for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And eventually people get burned out on you. And vice versa. You get burned out on them. So there's some talk that he's lost his team, that he's lost some of his motivation. And all the rumblings out there from the national press who are following this. Mario Cristobal leaving Oregon and heading to Miami. I think it's real. Nobody's sitting here saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think the speculation and the talk is absolutely real.
Oh, crazy stuff, man. That's why you're listening to Idaho Sports. How many times am I going to say that today?
Because we're damn good today.
We're just
ballgame.
Having a roll. We're on a roll today. Hey, despite, you know, we're on this big roll and we love it, you're going to hang out with us. I got JP coming up because there's another head coach opening in the Mountain West. Yep. JP's got it, and that's next. We're Prater in the Ballgame on KTIK, The Ticket.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio, The Ticket.
We're going to put up another $50 gift certificate to the Bonefish Grill on Rock Jocks and Pop Culture. That's coming up in just a matter of minutes. And also, if you did miss our interview with Jack Sears, the former Boise State quarterback, now going into the transfer portal, it is on our website right now, ktik.com, and Mike Prater is in the process of tweeting that out on our social media, so you can get it there as well. It's certainly well worth your time, so go check that out. In the meantime, Steve Adazio's tenure at Colorado State did not last long, just 16 games, where he went 4-12 as the head coach. The Rams waited until today to fire him because his buyout reportedly dropped from $5 million down to $3 million. So they waited a few days and saved a couple million bucks. It was a rocky from the start. Last year, he was accused of a cover-up within the program regarding testing for COVID. That was an ugly look. This year, he blew a game in the final seconds of an idiotic game management decision and was ejected in his last game after two unsportsmanlike penalties. That you could almost write a book or put a movie out about that.
JP, is the word idiotic an official news term? I love that.
It is in this. Idiotic game management decision. That was my own right there. That was my own, what do you call it?
You're speaking to my heart. You know how I feel about Adazio. You know how I feel about Colorado State. I remember this hire from a couple years ago. Everybody was just championing it as a good hire. Really? Why? And Colorado State for 40 years now has proven to be Colorado State. Once again, completely bungled this hire, and now they're going out looking for another coach.
I was one of the idiots. I liked the hire. He was 500, at, I thought, Power 5, Boston College. He learned from Urban Meyer, was on Urban Meyer's staff, won those two natties at Florida. And, yeah, he was it was one of the worst Mountain West head coaching performances I've seen over a two-year stretch, maybe in the history of the conference, man. I know the dude UNLV hired a few years ago from Bishop Gorman High School. If you remember that, it was hard for the get that going, but Adazio was worse than that. And we'll see where Colorado State goes, and we're going to talk about this in about, I don't know, half hour, 35 minutes. Prater mentioned Dan Hawkins get to the Mountain West, and we're going to talk about that. And maybe there's a quarterback that just entered the transfer portal last night that might want to go hang out with him.
Nice.
A lot of speculation at 5:15, and we want you to be a part of it and give us a call.
We are your home for the Thursday night football game tonight. The Dallas Cowboys, losers of three of their last four and without their head coach because he's got COVID, will play the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. DeMarcus Lawrence, former Boise State defensive end, he is going to be back in the lineup tonight for the Dallas Cowboys, although former Boise State wide receiver Cedric Wilson, he has been ruled out for tonight's game with an injury. But you can check that all out, 6 o'clock on KTIK following Idaho Sports Talk.
And with all the Idaho connections, we missed one, and we appreciate the reader calling it in. I think it was Vandal Al put it in. Christian Ellis, linebacker for the Saints, playing. I don't know about a lot, but he's definitely getting on the field, and I see him flying around whenever I watch a Saints game, former Vandal. And there's just Idaho connections all over the place in this game.
Another coach opening in college football. Bronco Mendenhall has resigned at Virginia. How many years was he there? Four or five.
Yeah. I think that's fair, yeah. Actually, I mean, the news guy who spent way too much time thinking about idiotic should have looked that up.
Well, I'm in the middle. I'm writing things on sticky notes, Prater. I got news coming in about bowl games being added in Texas at the last minute. Bronco Mendenhall stepping away. 6 years. He did come to Boise State and played a game here. And Boise State go back there.
How'd he do there? How'd he do in that game?
He kicked Boise State's ass.
Yeah, remember that one?
It was like 42-14 or something.
Some embarrassing loss on the blue when
very bad.
Bronco came in here. Yeah, 6 years.
And finally, the Antonio Brown has been suspended 3 games by the NFL. The Tampa Bay wide receiver was among 3 players who misrepresented their vaccination status, as they're saying, by obtaining fake vaccination cards. Backup safety Mike Edwards and a free agent wide receiver they had on the roster who they've waived since back in August were also suspended. Brown's attorney, though, says he's been vaccinated and he supports anybody that, wants to be vaccinated.
He's vaccinated, but he turned in a fake vaccination card.
Yeah, right?
I believe that because only Antonio Brown could pull off something like that.
Idiotic.
Yeah, I do believe that. Now, he was going to miss the next couple of games anyway because of an ankle injury, so they tacked on a third one. Then they took away about $600,000 of pay.
Good.
So he's getting beat up a little bit. And for all you people out there comparing, including some people who I thought were actually smart, some of you knuckleheads on social media, comparing this to Aaron Rodgers' situation, why Aaron Rodgers got a slap on the wrist and why Antonio Brown. Aaron Rodgers told his team and his bosses his situation. He told the NFL and the executives there his situation. He lied to the media. That's his entire issue, and he's as squirrely as could be. In my opinion, Antonio Brown committed fraud. Aaron Rodgers lied to the media. You guys decide which one is worse.
Yeah, what bugs me is like the NFL has a place for the unvaccinated. You just have to go through different stuff here and there in the facility. And Antonio Brown lied about that. And I'm sure Prater's not a bit surprised. Antonio Brown has proven to be a dirtbag in a lot of different situations. And now he's a dirtbag with $600,000 less dollars and a and a fake vaccination card that you can go ahead and crumple up and shoot into the trash bin.
We just used the word idiotic and dirtbag multiple times in a sports update.
Oh, we always take the high road around here, don't we?
Don't have a problem. You know, I mean, don't lie about it. Just anyway, $50 Bonefish Grill.
Yes.
That's now time for you to give us a call at 208-424-9300, Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Who wants to play a little bit of trivia? All you need is two correct answers, and $50 at Bonefish Grill is yours. JP, get us a contestant on KTIK The Ticket.
It's time to play everyone's favorite game, Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture. Are you a Wall of Famer, Wall of Shamer, or somewhere in between? Now, here's Johnny on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
Brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling. Ty in Boise is our contestant today. This is Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture. Welcome to Idaho Sports Talk, Ty. Is this a pretty big deal for you to get to be on this show and participate in Rock, Jocks?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's going to make my day.
Hell, yeah. All right, Ty. Let's see if we can make it even further with $50 from Bonefish Grill in your pocket. You got Prater and JP serving as lifelines, helping hands. Very rarely do they steer our contestants in the wrong direction, so please trust them with everything you have, Ty. Trust them as if $50 at Bonefish Grill is at stake, because it is. Ty, here we go. Rock. Which Christmas song sung by Bing Crosby is the best-selling Christmas single of all time, Ty?
Boy, I want to say White Christmas, but I think I'm going to ask JP just to confirm that.
Well, I believe that you just wasted a lifeline, because that was my answer.
Thought.
Yeah, but if it makes you feel better, I'm going to go with White Christmas as well.
All right, I'll try that one.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
You know that, Prater?
I did. Yep. I did know that one.
Bing Crosby.
Have you gone back and checked out the Bing Crosby Vandal fight song yet that I told you about a few months ago?
No. Totally forgot you mentioned that to me ever.
Go check it out. And play a little White Christmas to boot.
Oh, well, okay. Bing Crosby. Vandal. Love it. Okay, here we go, Ty. You're one for one. Well done. Next up, Jocks. Ty, Tom Landry. His 250 wins are by far the most in Dallas Cowboy coaching history. But Ty, who ranks second? Which head coach is second all-time in Dallas Cowboy victories? Hagalaga.
Well, I'm thinking it's either Jimmy Johnson or Jason Garrett. I'm gonna ask Prater for what his thoughts are. My guess is it could be Jason Johnson or Jason Garrett, because he was there a lot longer. But
Ty, I'll
check with Prater.
You're asking a Steeler. He's wearing a Steeler hat right now in the Data Tell studio about a Cowboy question. This will be juicy.
Yeah, I'm the only guy in Boise who doesn't watch Kellen Moore. And
what do you think it is, Prater? Second most head coaching victories in Cowboy history.
I don't know if I'm right, dude, but you and I are on the same page. I went straight to Jason Garrett, and as I was kind of going down the list, I don't think Jimmy Johnson was there that long. Jason Garrett was there a long time. They were always on the verge of a playoffs. It was not about the regular season. It was always about winning a playoff game. Who was after Landry?
No.
Was it straight to Jimmy Johnson? Okay, so it went straight to Jimmy Johnson.
Barry Switzer?
Switzer was there for a cup of coffee. It's got to be Jason Garrett, dude.
All right, I'm going to go with that. That was my first thought, too, but I just wasn't sure.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
Nice. I didn't screw it up.
Damn you guys. Tough audience. Tough contestants, I should say, today. I thought that was one I could bust you guys on. Jason Garrett, 85 wins, number two in Cowboy history. Landry's 250. I'd say that's safe for another 100 or so years.
Who was three, do you know? Just how close was anybody to Garrett?
Damn you.
Chan Gailey?
That's the one we didn't bring up.
I think it was Jimmy, because you had 90 was okay. I'm sorry, 91 was okay. No, 90, 91, 92, 90. They had 4 years of massive wins. I bet it's Jimmy.
Yeah, they had to have 13, 14 wins a year with playoffs and Super Bowls.
Playoffs don't count.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Regular season wins. Anywho, you're 2 for 2, $50 from Bonefish Grill in your pocket, Ty. Are you a Wall of Famer already, Ty?
He's a first timer.
My first time.
Holy shnikes. Well, you're on your own. You're out of lifelines. And this is simply for the Wall of Fame. So you can live in the DataTel studio forever, Ty. Your grandkids can come here and ask to come in our studio so they can see a picture of their grandpa to commemorate this, if you get it correct. Here we go, Ty. The least populated state in the United States is Wyoming at 579,000 people. Oh, I love these questions, Ty. What's the second least populated state? After Wyoming is last... This is number 49.
Boy, my first thought would have been Alaska. I don't even know if I want to try to think past Alaska. I'll just go with that.
Bad breaks and crooked riffs.
No Wall of Fame for Ty today. But Alaska, I think, is like 48 on the list. Prater, what do you think is the correct answer is?
I would have thrown out one of the Dakotas.
Incorrect. That's a great guess, though.
That's incorrect.
Both of them are incorrect.
Both of them are incorrect, JP.
Well, then I'm going to go with Montana.
Incorrect. Maybe you got to fact check me on this. But I had Vermont, 623,000 people.
Well, it's a small place.
The second smallest state.
You can't shove that too many people in
second
there.
Second smallest population in the country for state. I had it. Wyoming was number 50. Vermont was number 49. Ty, well done, my friend. Enjoy $50 at Bonefish Grill. And Ty, you listen to this show a lot?
Listen almost every day. Yep.
We'll appreciate that. Keep on listening, Ty. We're going to keep working hard for you. All right, buddy? Brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling. How about $500 cash in your hand if you purchase a new full system at advancedheatingandcooling.com? How about $250 cash in your hand if you purchase a new furnace? God, some of these tongue twisters. Purchase furnace. Prater, advancedheatingandcooling.com. Holiday deals. They love it. 5 o'clock right around the corner. And how much is Kellen going to be worth? How much is he worth right now? According to a Yahoo Sports article, Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly, Kellen Moore, are you living in their neighborhood? Looks like. Let's talk about that. And Dan Hawkins, if you can come back to the Mountain West, Mike Prater highly recommends it. And he's going to tell you exactly why. It's all coming up. We're loaded at 5 o'clock. We want to hear your calls, too. 208-424-9300. How much do you think Kellen is worth? And we'll ask for you to call about Dan Hawkins. Fresno State, Colorado State, couple of Mountain West jobs open. Would Dan Hawkins be a good fit? We think so. Prater does. That's next. He's Mike Prater. I'm John Mallory, Johnny Ballgame, JP. Here in the DataTel studio, we're Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. This is why you listen to Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame.
Former Boise State quarterback Jack Sears.
I've really enjoyed my time as a Boise State student athlete, but also just as a resident here in Boise, you know, exploring this beautiful state and getting to experience a lot of things I don't get to experience back home in California. So it was tough to know that this chapter's coming to an end, but it wasn't difficult knowing that, you know, I got to do what's best for me and take that next step in my life.
Idaho Sports Talk, weekdays at 3 on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Are you?
I think that was the approach based off the flow of the game.
We got receivers that we feel really, really confident.
Kellen Moore, football wonder boy, Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator. He's got the playbook. You've got the money. NFL owners, university athletic directors, you can pay him. You will pay him. Kellen Moore will be the $10 million coach. Let the bidding begin.
Prater, what the hell was that?
That's our new $10 million man. $10 million man ball game.
Is that that's a spin off the Lee Majors six? I mean, I'm not you guys.
Yes.
You make fun of me for pop culture all the time, but in our production meeting this morning, as we were talking about this segment, Kellen Moore, the next $10 million man, and stick with us, we're going to tell you why. But JP and I are old, and we started talking about Lee Majors, Colonel Steve Austin, the $6 million man. We will rebuild him, and we will make him better. We went back a little memory lane, and we listened to a little bit of that, and JP put his production together. Bottom line here is ball game. Kellen Moore, we've talked about him and his future. We've talked every angle about Kellen Moore and his future and where he's headed in the NFL. Never really put together the money factor until I was reading a Yahoo Sports story yesterday about all the crazy stuff going on in college football coaching right now. $100 million contracts, $95 million contracts to people like Mel Tucker. Really? Are you kidding me? And then this story had extensive interview with an NFL agent, and they got to talking about what the trickle-down effect, what the impact of this is, and this is a beautiful line if you're Mr. and Mrs. Kellen Moore, but it said, if we're paying this kind of money for college jobs, the top jobs could lure even more in the NFL. This is more impactful for good young offensive coordinators like Kellen Moore, Marcus Brady, and Eric Bieniemy. He's basically suggesting that the next coach, all three of these guys, when they become head coaches, will become $10 million coaches. He's going to be a head coach for the first time in his life ball game, and he's going to make $10 million.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah. I mean, we're all these guys, and I mean, heck, Matt Rhule, he's getting 8.5 at the Carolina Panthers. I also read that in this Yahoo Sports article, but, you know, I love the detail with Kellen. And the question is, I mean, with that type of money, because I thought it might still be in play for the Jones family, who obviously has invested a lot of time, resources of and money into Kellen Moore. I thought it still might be in play, Prater, just the type of dude Kellen is, where if the Jones family could promise him the Cowboy job when it opens next, he gets it guaranteed in writing, that he might stick around for, I don't know, $3.5-4 million a year to be the coordinator. Mike McCarthy makes four, so Kellen makes 3.3, something like that. But when articles like this come out, and Kellen Moore's like, okay, Mel Tucker just signed fully guaranteed $95 million, family wealth alterating money. What's the word I wanted? Life changing money on that, Prater. Life altering stuff. And how does Kellen Moore not want to dip his beak into that a little bit? I don't care how much he loves the Cowboys. I know his parents, by the way, have moved to Dallas, the Moore family. They wanted to be by the grandkids and stuff. So Tom and I can't remember his mother's lovely name. Anyway, they now live in Dallas. So Kellen does have a home base there. Kirby Moore, his bro, he doesn't know his future. He was on Kalen DeBoer's staff in Fresno. Hopefully he comes up back up to Seattle with DeBoer. But who knows what Kirby's going to do? And I would bet a lot that on Kellen Moore, Moore's next job, Kirby is somewhere on staff because Kellen knows him, loves him, trusts him, and knows he knows a lot about football. But for this type of money, Prater, the first thing that pops into my head is like, uh-oh. Okay, Jones family, you're going to have a serious decision to make at the end of this season. Or Kellen Moore, according to articles like this, that's just too damn much money for him to consider to pass up.
Let me ask you a really stupid question, ballgame. Does Kellen Moore make decisions based on cash? Will he make a decision based on cash? You just gave me a very compelling argument, and I'm not disagreeing. But is Kellen Moore, who's shown some loyalty, I mean, he turned down Boise State, or reportedly turned down Boise State, a chance to pursue Boise State,
yep,
for the chance to stay with the Dallas Cowboys, for a chance to pursue a career in the NFL, for a, yep, chance to become a head coach in the NFL. I think Kellen Moore, if I had to list a list of characteristics and traits about that dude, I think one of the first things I would put is loyalty. That dude is, yeah, going to be loyal to a fault.
Yep.
And maybe he sticks around. But $10 million, that's going to screw up a lot of people's loyalty ballgame. Even Kellen Moore, an impeccable, perfect human being. So I'm not sure. This story talks about most first-year coaches are landing deals somewhere in the $5 million range. Brian Flores, Kevin Stefanski, Cliff Kingsbury, Matt LaFleur, all somewhere in the $5 to $6 million range.
Okay.
But this story also says, quote unquote, and I won't use the profanity that is used in this quote from the NFL agent, but he said, this S is insane. Saban and Ryan Day are getting ready to sign deals that average $15 to $20 million per year, and Kirby Smart at Georgia as well. If Ryan Day, Nick Saban, and Kirby Smart are all going to get $15 to $20 million contracts this offseason, those $5 million contracts in the NFL will absolutely double. That's where we're getting this $10 million deal. And we all know that Kellen Moore is going to be a hot commodity. Does he take the $10 million, or does he stay in Dallas and stay loyal to the Jones family and wait for that job in a couple of years? That's a tough one, ballgame.
I know. But I mean, first off, Andy Avalos right now is making more than Kellen, correct?
Kellen, no. Well, and Andy's right around 1.5.
Oh, okay. So Kellen makes more than Andy.
It's been reported that he's right around, Kellen's probably right around the $2 million
range. Yeah, and Andy makes 1.5, you said? Yes. I thought Andy made a little more than that. Okay, never mind. So you can't say that he didn't take the Boise State job because of the money or whatever. I mean, he was offered more money, and I know this. He wants to be in the NFL. He loves Boise, but he's moved his whole family down to Texas. That's what he's doing now. The Houston Texans job. I mean, would that be open where he can still kind of keep this Texas thing and move east a little bit? I don't know whether jobs. I mean. What if Oklahoma wants him, okay? And I think that's a great move for Oklahoma.
The Sooners?
Yes.
Or the professional team in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's in the Dallas kind of area. Like, it's not a far move, and most Sooner fans are Cowboy fans. I don't have to explain to you the geography of football in this country. Sooner fans, most of them are stinking Cowboy fans. Kellen Moore to Norman, Oklahoma makes a ton of stinking sense. And Oklahoma just lost a coach because he wanted to get in on this $95, $100 million fully guaranteed 10-year package stuff in Lincoln Riley going to USC. I think if Oklahoma wants to save some face here, and maybe they want Bob Stoops, I think that's silly, though. Move on, then Kellen Moore at Oklahoma would be just stinking money with that in a couple of different ways. But that just, again, that's me speculating. I know nothing on that, but there's some really big jobs open. If Kellen does go back to college, I think it's a gig like the Oklahoma Sooners. It's really tough to fall on your ass in Norman, Oklahoma. Really tough.
I love Bob Stoops staying in Oklahoma. I really love that.
And you want him back?
I'm not big about going back. JP's heard me for 20 years on this show. I don't like regurgitating coaches. In this particular case, I think he's young enough and has got the cachet enough and can make that work. And I like Stoops staying at Oklahoma. I have no idea if he's going to. I just personally like that. I've just changed my mind, ballgame, because that's what I do best. I flip-flop.
Yep.
I said the number one thing on Kellen Moore's list would be loyalty. I'm going to change that to family. Family first, loyalty second, and probably very intertwined. If he's moved mom and dad down there.
He has. I can confirm that.
That's fine. I'm not questioning that. If he's got mom and dad down there, he's got family down there, he's got kids down there, he's got the wife down there. They've made the complete move from Salt Lake City where they were living before. That was kind of their headquarters and their base before. If they got the entire family in the Dallas thing, I don't think Kellen Moore, and maybe I'm just stupid and naive, and I know I am stupid. I don't know about naive, but Kellen Moore, I think he would hang for a couple of years. It's not like these salaries are going down. It's not like these salaries are going away. And it's not like he's old. He's getting better every year. He's getting more marketable every year. And maybe he does stick around in Dallas for a couple of years. I don't think Kellen Moore is, I almost said dumb. I think Kellen Moore is way too smart and way too picky to take a job that he doesn't think is, the Houston Texans? I mean, Kellen Moore doesn't have an ego. He's got intelligence.
He doesn't.
And he's not going to go there thinking, I can rebuild that. I can be the guy that saves this franchise. I think he's smarter than that. I know he's smarter than that. And I don't think he's just going to take a Detroit Lions job or a Houston Texans job. Dude, he works for the Dallas Cowboys, and the Dallas Cowboys love him. And he's got his entire family there. And Jerry Jones can give him $4 million, and he can give McCarthy $5 million. And they could coexist for a couple of years. The only caveat here, and you know this as well as anybody, if Kellen Moore is just literally every morning when he wakes up, if he's itching to be a head coach, then he'll go do the job for a buck.
God, you know what? JP, do you go home some night and just try to write down stuff that Prater says because it's so stinking brilliant?
You know what? I've been listening to Prater's brilliance for 20 years now, John. I don't think I have any more room in my brain for it, to be honest with you.
JP writes down the stupid stuff and say, don't repeat what Prater said today.
I'm flip-flopping then, based on what Prater just said. If there's a guy out there who won't buy in to everything that people are buying into in the coaching carousel now, it's probably a dude like Kellen. He knows the pot of gold at the end of his rainbow is what it is, and the rainbow's not evaporating on him. He knows it's still going to be there.
Yeah.
And maybe he is going to wait and handpick this thing. I would imagine he wants the Cowboy job first and foremost, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But he also doesn't want to step on anybody's toes.
And I also don't think he wants to go to college because of the family angle. College ruins your life. Ask Bronco Mendenhall today.
Good point.
Bronco Mendenhall resigned at Virginia because of family. Now, I don't know if he's going to pull an Urban Meyer and show back up on a sideline next year.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer did that. We didn't believe that for a second. Bronco Mendenhall is a rock-solid human being. Urban Meyer is not. Kellen Moore is a rock-solid human being. That may have made a little bit of an impression on him, the Bronco Mendenhall thing today. Kellen Moore is that guy. He's that different. Now watch him. He'll take a job tomorrow with the
Houston Texans. Detroit Lions. yeah. Well, then we'll say, okay, well, he needed to be a head coach.
Yeah.
That was it for him. That was number one, his M.O. at this time in his career. I need to be a head coach. And you know what? With the money we're talking, yeah, Mom, Dad, I know you just moved down to Dallas and all this. We're having fun. But, yeah, we're going to have to go ahead and move up to Detroit or wherever they're going to go.
Yeah.
Prater made a funny face when I said Detroit there. But and Tom Moore, his dad, he knows this. He knows football, right? It's not like his parents are 102 years old and they can't move. They're in good shape.
Yeah,
they're still
yeah.
young.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, Kellen's in his 30s. Like, dude, and Kirby's younger than Kellen. So, yeah, all right. There's the latest on that. Great stuff. Read that article if you want on yahoosports.com. We're opening up the phone lines. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, 208-424-9300. Let's get some calls on this one. Dan Hawkins. Mike Prater thinks Dan Hawkins should take a hard look, and the Mountain West should take an even harder look at bringing Dan Hawkins to either Fresno or Colorado State, two Mountain West programs that are open. Now, as a Boise State fan, would you be cool with Hawk joining this division in Fort Collins or Hawk going to the Valley on the other division, coaching Fresno? Fill up these phone lines, damn it. 208-424-9300. That's what we're doing next on Prater in the Ballgame.
He's Zach Gelb, and he's live with the hottest sports takes on the national sports stories of the day next on Sports Radio 93.1 FM, The Ticket.
Idaho Sports Talk, Prater in the Ballgame, 208-424-9300. We call it our Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Next time you're in there, order the triple chin. Your stomach will thank you. Get some calls on this. Bronco Nation, I know you have an opinion on this, sucker. How'd you feel about Dan Hawkins taking one of these Mountain West jobs? Seems to make sense in a multitude of different ways. So what do you think? Would you support Hawk being in the same division as your Boise State Broncos at a place like Colorado State? Or would you support Hawk going to the Valley and coaching at Fresno State, which has an opening, and continuing that Boise State-Fresno State rivalry thing, whatever, the milk jug, you put Hawk in red there, might have some interesting spice to it. Prater, we root for stories. Holy smokes, man, that's certainly a story, huh?
Oh, ball game! I haven't wanted something this bad in a long, long time. The last time I wanted something this bad, ball game, I wanted to work with you. How's that for a little?
Are you serious?
Pretty damn close. I'd love to see Hawk come back to the Mountain West, and I love the fact that you took this job. And I think they're both very similar, highly entertaining, professionals at what they do, and they just get people thinking and talking. And I love what Dan Hawkins does. I miss Dan Hawkins around here. I miss him coaching at UC Davis in terms of he's down there and the engagement isn't as strong as it could be.
Yeah.
I sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. Sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for. If he goes to Colorado State, one, he's got to get over some Colorado demons. I don't know if Colorado State says, well, that school down the street, you may have screwed that one up and we wanted nothing to do with you. Or maybe Colorado State thinks, you screwed that one up down the street, and we want to screw them over because we think you can come here and be a rock star. I like that theory of thought. So we know he's got some Colorado ties. There's some baggage there. It'd be very interesting to see how that turns out. And, oh, just down the road a little bit from UC Davis, a little bit inward, go down that highway, head down Turlock, the turkey capital of the world, and there's Fresno State. Dan Hawkins coaching in California again in Fresno State. Ballgame, let's make one of these two happen.
I mean, he just took UC Davis to the FCS playoffs. He's doing well there. By the way, he hasn't been in Boulder since 2010. I mean, in the world of college football, 11 years might as well be 40 or 50. Yep. Maybe that still won't mean anything, but maybe it would. I mean, his record speaks for itself. He's won a hell of a lot more games than he's lost. I think according to a site I'm looking at, I know you love it, it's called Wikipedia, has all the right information, but it says Dan Hawkins is says Hawk is 143-82-1 in record in college, not counting Canadian or anything else he's done. So he's won a hell of 60 more games than he's lost. And, you know, the Mountain West now looks a lot like the WAC when Hawk was at Boise, and he basically put a stranglehold on that conference. It's crazy how much what Hawk did sometimes slips through the cracks, but he was 53-11. On the blue, 53-11, 830 winning percentage, right? 83%. Did he ever even lose a game on the blue outside of his first year? I don't know if he did. Remember the bowl game, his last game here? But who cares? They were the visiting team that game. So technically, they weren't the home team. Boston College was. They were the home team of that bowl game. I don't know if Hawk even lost a stinking game at home. Anywho, I think it'd be a great storyline for this conference. I hope Fresno, and Fresno fans, if you're out there, you can call in on this. I hope Fresno doesn't think it's too good for a guy like Dan Hawkins, okay? Colorado State, bam, you better not think you're too good for a guy like Hawk. If you put Hawk in this division, I mean, would Hawk... It'd be interesting to think where Hawk's head would be on this, because Prater, I mean, if he wants to do this again and get back to FBS and that level, don't you think like this would be a pretty good opportunity? You take, at least in Colorado State's sense, kind of a lower mid-level Mountain West program where if you can come in and win 9 games, they're going to stink and love you like Jim McElwain that 1 year in Fort Collins. And Fresno has high expectations, but like you said, Davis and Fresno, kind of neighboring cities. They know the lay of the land there, and Hawks has been a Davis guy forever. I don't know. This would sure be a lot of fun, man.
One thing real quick, Ballgame, you're brilliant. Hawk lost his very first game on the blue, second game of his career at Boise State. He lost at South Carolina, and then he came home and he got crushed by Washington State. 5 seasons later, he never lost again on the
crazy?
Blue.
Isn't that crazy? Jason Gesser is the only quarterback to beat Dan Hawkins at home. Gesser and Matt Ryan. It's a pretty good, and again, I don't count the Matt Ryan win.
I'm not counting the Boston College
It's a
game.
Bowl game for one, and they were the away game. They just were. So I'm not counting the Boston College game.
And he was out the door, and Pete was kind of...
Good point.
It was kind of a magical combination. Well, not a magical. It was kind of a combo deal. Dan Hawkins lost his first game on the blue, and for 5 seasons, never lost it again. But you know what? That's not even the most impressive part. And if Colorado State's looking at him, and if Fresno State's looking at him, you just spent 5 minutes talking about wins and losses in his resume. To me, there's something about Hawk that just blows that away that's way more impressive than his win-loss record, which is very impressive. Dan Hawkins, and I'm not going to get corny on you and say he builds men, because I don't care about that part, because, well, I do, but that's for other people. He builds programs. He builds buildings. He builds fan bases. He builds momentum. Yeah. He does the whole thing. He stands up behind the podium and begs for cash. He goes around in the community and shakes hands and asks for money. He looks you in the eye and said, don't just tell me you're going to give me $10. Give me $20 right now. And he tries to make things happen. And you know what? He kind of gives you that little voodoo hex. And it's all of a sudden like you feel like you're in the Dan Hawkins vibe. And
yeah.
You can't say no. That's the kind of quality that I think he has. I know Dan Hawkins isn't for everybody. And there are times when he was so damn corny, I thought, are you kidding me? And there were times when Dan Hawkins and I butted heads like you've never butted heads. That dude ripped into me a couple of times. I'm not sure how much he swears, but I know he sweared at least one day. And it was not pretty. But I love Dan Hawkins, and I love him for the complete package. I almost think his win-loss record is secondary to everything else that he brings to a program that's so damn important. Colorado fans, you guys are going to say something different. I think Dan Hawkins is the real deal. I have no idea what his direction is. I almost asked JP to, because JP and Hawk are close, tight buddies. And I almost said, JP, just send him a text message. But I never like to put coaches in that situation. I have no idea if he wants to be a head coach somewhere else.
Yeah.
I have no idea if he wants to die at UC Davis, which he'd be more than happy to die at UC Davis.
Sure.
He would live there and work there for $100 a year
and that's
for the
awesome.
Rest of his life.
Yep.
But I also have to think that there's got to be some kind of a competitive Jones where he would like to just to come back and say, you know what, I can take that job and I can screw you over.
Come back on at this level. You know, the only college gigs he's had at this level are Boise State and Colorado. It's now in the Pac-12, and obviously we all know the quote or the sound bite. It's Division I football. It's the Big 12, baby. But I think maybe there's an itch there, JP, too, like, that he wants to come back to FBS, and the Mountain West is a great fit. And Prater, I remember listening to you, this would have been 03, 04, just when this program was rolling, 13-1, 11-1, 12-1. Like, they were just, and you guys were on the air. Was it fun? Like, was Idaho Sports Talk fun for you when Dan Hawkins was the head coach at Boise State? Like, that seemed like it was a fun era. They were fighting to be in the AP top 25, ranked 15th, 16th, and just, it was fresh. And you're right. I remember Hawk, probably on this show, build me an indoor practice facility, damn it. You want us to be big time? Well, we're freezing our ace off, practicing, getting ready for this bowl game. We need an indoor. 2 years later, hello, Kevin Williams, right? Like, what was that like for you in your career, both print and broadcasting, having Hawk be the coach here?
Ball game, it was a lot of fun. But it wasn't anywhere near as fun as it is hanging out with you.
Well, why, well, JP, is he guilty or something? Did he, like, accidentally run into my car in the parking lot? And, you know, I'm going to show up after the show and be like, oh, okay, that's why.
I can tell you one thing about
Coach
Hawk,
were around then too, JP.
If either one of those teams reached out to him, he would certainly listen to them because that was his M.O. I will always listen because you can always learn. That was Hawk's M.O. about interviewing for jobs.
Love that. Now, we talked about this, and somebody, I'll just let the cat out of the bag on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Somebody named Tom texted the show about an hour ago, and he said the hottest drink in Fresno is going to be the Jack and Hank. Never mind.
The Hawk?
Jack and Hawk.
Yeah, there you go.
I ruined it, Prater. The Jack and Hawk, not Jack and Coke. The Jack and Hawk. It's going to be Jack Sears and Dan Hawkins in Fresno, and they're coming to the Blue next year. Fresno is here in Boise. I don't even want to imagine. Prater, you would have to, like, hook me up with an IV, right? If that happened, like, I don't know if I could handle that type of excitement and that type of momentum. If Jack Sears goes to Fresno, they're clearly looking for a quarterback, maybe one who knows this league, maybe one who, oh, I don't know, wants to beat the hell out of Boise State and Dan Hawkins. I mean, that's total speculation, Prater. It's fun, but the Jack and Hawk, I'll order two. Can I make that a double, Prater? I will.
And speaking of double, Colorado State and Fresno State are on the Blue next year.
Good point. Good point.
Let's make it happen, ballgame.
Hawk back on the Blue. Be his first loss on the Blue since Jason Gesser like 20 years ago.
That's all we want for Christmas.
With Wazoo.
We want Hawk back in the Mountain West.
Great stuff, guys. Hey, KTIK Sports Radio, we are moving. Yes, starting January 3rd, listen to us. Not 93.1, but 95.3 FM. And as a matter of fact, we're on there right now. If you want to play around with it, go for it. Give it a listen. The same great shows, same great lineup, only just a little to the right on your radio dial. Don't forget, we still have all the streaming. We'll still have the AM, everything. 95.3 is going to be the new spot for you on January 3rd. We got 90-second soapbox to hop on, and still half hour left in the show. Good for you guys. KTIK, the ticket.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Fall Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. If you've got 3 minutes, we've got some self-important things to say. It's the 90-second Soapbox with Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio The Ticket.
I've always defended players who've gotten hurt out of the bust category. Because when you get hurt, for me in most cases, in many cases, it's totally out of the athlete's control. People get hurt in sports. Deal with it. Busts, to me, are guys or athletes who they've had every opportunity and for their own, on their own accord, they screwed it all up. Where do you have Zion Williamson? The newest news that he was supposed to return to practice today. Now they've held him out longer. He had a surgically repaired right foot. So he's been dealing with injuries. This is supposed to be his third season in the NBA. He hasn't played a minute. He's only played 85 games so far. I mean, at this point, should have New Orleans drafted Ja Morant, who's playing at an all-star caliber level in Memphis, and the operative word, playing? Zion career. It's one of the great careers we've ever seen in the NBA for a player in their first 85 games. 26 points a night, 7 rebounds a night, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. But dude, I'm done waiting around for this. And the NBA doesn't need Zion Williamson. And I wonder what we're going to say. Remember Bill Walton? What was his big injury, old-timers? It was his foot. It was his feet. Key when it comes to basketball. So Zion, I don't know if you're a bust or what, but just kind of sick of the whole Zion thing. I hope the kid gets better, but dude, is this dude ever going to play? Get off it.
One of the best, most remarkable stories going on in sports right now is the Phoenix Suns of the NBA. I know the NBA doesn't always resonate around here, but what the Phoenix Suns are doing is absolutely remarkable. Let me recap. In 30 days in November, they won 16 games. Think about that. I didn't even know that you played 16 games in 30 days in the NBA, but they're cramming in this schedule. 30 days, they won all 16 of their games. They're on a 17-game winning streak. And after watching the Warriors game the other night, this might be the most fun NBA team to watch out there, period, right now. This might be the most fun a sports team is out there to watch right now, period. They score a lot of points, average about 113 points a game, and play great defense. The Phoenix Suns under Monty Williams, who's going after another NBA Coach of the Year again with former Boise State and Idaho Stampede, well, Boise State student, Idaho Stampede coach, Brian Gates as his number one assistant, got a lot of TV time the other night, are doing a remarkable job. And I love, love, love the roster. It's so much fun to watch. Devin Booker, are you kidding me? He's got a little hammy issue right now and might miss a couple of days. But Devin Booker is a beautiful thing to watch. DeAndre Ayton, his last college game was right here in Boise, Idaho. Now he's in the NBA and he's doing great things. And we all know what Chris Paul is, the ultimate glue guy on that roster, doing fantastic things. And one of my all-time favorite players who really gets no attention around here is Jay Crowder, a power forward with the big hair. Jay Crowder, former Jazz guy, I love watching you play, and you were a dominant, mean beast the other night and a big, big part of this roster. Tonight, the Phoenix Suns go after win number 18 against the Detroit Pistons at home. Put that in the bank. And then tomorrow night, Friday night, Phoenix at Golden State in a rematch of the game the other day. The two best teams in the NBA, are you kidding me? The Phoenix Suns are 18-3. The Golden State Warriors are 18-3. The Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry the other night, you stunk. Let's wait until Klay Thompson gets back. Your roster's going to be fine. But right now, the Phoenix Suns, your roster is unbelievable. The Phoenix Suns are the best story in sports.
From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
We're 20 minutes away from Thursday night football here on The Ticket. The Cowboys taking on the New Orleans Saints. DeMarcus Lawrence back tonight for the Cowboys. Former Boise State wide receiver Cedric Wilson ruled out for the game. We've got Kellen at offensive coordinator. We've got Vandals on the Saints. We've got a Highland High School guy starting for the New Orleans Saints tonight. This is crazy.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be really fun. They ought to call it the Idaho Bowl. Not that anybody in the NFL cares.
Okay, take bets here. Yes or no, will the state of Idaho have some type of a mention from Buck or Aikman tonight? Like, whoa, there's a lot of Idaho flavor here. Will they pick up on this?
I'm going to say yes, they do.
I'm not going
to... Somebody should be... You know, pitching that to him.
They're okay. Not going to say that. I mean, if he says, you know, Kellen Moore, former Boise State guy, does that count? Just my, I'm mentioning.
No, it's about, like, if it, whoa, look at the Idaho connection here, Joe. What do you mean, Troy, or something like Taysom Hill from the state of Idaho, Kellen Moore played at Boise State, Doug Nussmeier played at Idaho, Joel Thomas also played at Idaho, and
Christian Ellis.
I mean, does that get a mention? There's a lot of Idaho flavor in this game. I'm going to say no.
No.
Nobody cares about Idaho.
Yeah, probably not.
Their producer should be looking into that, though.
He doesn't care about Idaho either. He's a freaky dude from New York.
What, their producer of this game?
Probably.
Stereotyping.
He's probably saying, like, nobody cares about an Idaho tie in this game. But I wonder if they'll say it. If they do, yeah. I called it.
Well, we had one of the better sides of the transfer portal, Jack Sears, on today. There's the transfer portal sound effect. You know, a guy that was gracious and you know, had enjoyed his time here, although he didn't play. But now we've got the ugly side of the transfer portal showing in Fresno. Quarterback Jake Haener announced he was transferring. There's a couple of photos that you can see on social media of some homemade signs written on sheets that said, Haener is a traitor. And I'm not sure if these were on campus or not, but one was hanging on some goalposts and the other on a building. So not sure if they were on campus, but Haener is a traitor.
Yeah. Traitor.
Weak.
That's not good.
Probably Fresno, the same stupid fans that celebrated when he left Washington to come to Fresno State. Two-way street.
Yeah, and I mean, it does stink, though. You're 9-3. You had a great season. You want to finish it off with a bowl game, and all of a sudden you ain't got no coach. You ain't got no quarterback. I can understand, and fan is short for fanatic. But let's make a sign. That's a waste of a bed sheet, man. Someone could be using that bed sheet and sleeping well. I want, how many? What's the thread count on that sucker? Huh?
I don't know. Johnny wants to know because of his Bed Bath and Beyond.
Exactly.
Days.
I know, like, what a good bed sheet is.
Is it 500? What is the thread count of a 1,000?
Yeah, 1,000's
fantastic. 1,000's the best.
No, hell no. There's more. There's even more than that. But I mean, as far as like retail goes, anything from 500 to 1,000, like what I would tell my customers, these will last a long time, JP, and you're gonna sleep every night.
So today we've used the words idiotic. We've used the word thread count. What was the other one we used in the sports update today? A couple of times, Johnny. Something you said. We're all over the place.
Jack wagon, jackhead.
Well, we probably did that too.
No, you're right. I did say something. Wasn't idiot, but whatever the heck, right? Prater and I, maybe you saw this on social media. We had a chance to get out to the Idaho's largest toy drive today, out right in front of Sportsman's Warehouse. There on Fairview Avenue, across from the Village, and we had a blast. And we put a video up on Facebook and our Twitter page, and Prater, let's be honest, we were taken aback a little bit by all the stinking toys that were there, and oh my gosh, what a way for everybody to step up.
What a great community event. What a great job by KBOI and Nate Shellman. We don't like to say that, and we'll never say that again, but they've done a fantastic job out there. So get out there. You don't have to get out of your car.
Yeah.
You know, buy a basketball, throw it through your window, and just keep on driving.
Yep.
And somebody will be there to catch it, and they'll throw it in a truck. The truck is beautifully organized. It says, you know, boys 15 to 18, girls 0 to 3, and they got these big boxes with all kinds of toys. It's pretty cool deals. Giant truck, giant operation, really easy ball game. It's pretty cool.
You have until Monday, December 6th to swing on by an all toys, stay in the Treasure Valley. And yeah, KTIK geeks, we'd love for you to bring up some sporting equipment.
Absolutely. But I think that one of the most needed toys are for girls age 7 to 12. So keep that in mind. If you're going to drop off a toy, get a Barbie doll. Why not?
A Disney princess doll or something.
Something from 7 Frozen, to 12. Some Frozen toy.
Anyway, if you're in the neighborhood, that'd be really cool. And by the way, they do take cash donations to Prater. So, and I get it. I'm lazy. If you don't want to at least just get out of your car and go in and buy a Disney princess and you want to stop by and give them 10 bucks, stop by and give them 10 bucks, man. We really appreciate that. Feedback finale next. KTIK, The Ticket.
On Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Prater, Johnny corrected somebody on our Cloverdale Plumbing text line because the guy referred to him as ball game. Two words. And Johnny said, it's ball game. One word.
What do you think about that, Prater? It's a pet peeve of mine in this business. When they tell, hey, ball game, but it's two words. Like, ball game's just one word.
One word.
Ball game. No capital G. Don't get cute. Just ball game. Like the song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. That's one word.
Ball game is one word.
Thank you.
Pete Neagle wrote in today, it's hit and miss when I can listen to you guys. I'm sitting in my car waiting to see the doctor. Better than sitting in the waiting room. Like the ball game, I really like Jack Sears. I'm disappointed he's bailing on the team before the bowl game, leaving us without a backup with experience after all Boise has done for him. He could have made it publicly known he was going to enter the portal and still have opportunities. Love what you guys do, well, 90% of the time.
Once you put your name in the portal, you're done. He did it the right way. He gave Andy Avalos literally 2 weeks' notice. Are you kidding me? 2 weeks' notice. Then all of a sudden he puts, and then he makes it official. Jack Sears owes Boise State nothing. Mm-hmm. And Jack Sears is doing everything that's right. And I also believe that Jack Sears wouldn't have stepped on the football field in a bowl game. That's where I need to see Talon Green.
Exactly. I'm with Prater on that. Talon Green, if they're going to do any type of experimental stuff there, yeah.
He's got a free game.
Yep.
And a free season. He's only played two games this year, right?
Yep.
He can play the entire game and still not lose any eligibility.
Yep, and bowl games, I don't even think count towards eligibility, Prater, right?
Yeah, I think they do. But, you know, it doesn't matter for him. He's got plenty of eligibility left. This is a free season for him. He can play as much as he wants. And I suspect, depending on the bowl game and how it shakes out, Boise State needs to see Talon Green under fire. And I want to see him out there on the football field so they can go into this offseason with a very spirited, competitive quarterback battle.
Yeah, Jack Sears said that, you know, coaches and whatnot say if you're going to get in the portal, do it before the bowl game. Signing day's on the 15th, man. Mm-hmm.
Jack Sears did everything right.
Yeah, he did not. Yeah.
It's not even debatable.
Yep.
Speaking of Jack Sears, if you missed that interview, it's on KTIK.com. It's on our Twitter feed, our Facebook. It's everywhere. We've tweeted it out. Hundreds of people have already downloaded and listened to it.
I thought you said thousands.
I meant hundreds of thousands.
There you go.
Postal Grandpa wrote in and said, as a Ducks fan, if Cristobal leaves, bring on Wilcox, or I can dream of a Coach Pete return. And then he asked, championship games on the radio Saturday. We will have the SEC championship game between Georgia and Bama, 1:30 pregame on Saturday.
There you go.
It's a good game to air.
Tom said, loyalty will be flushed down the toilet by Kellen Moore if Seattle calls.
Maybe. I mean, that's certainly not a dead-end franchise like Houston, but just because he played high school football 3 hours down the road or however far Prosser is, I'm not sure that's why and how he's going to make a career decision, but maybe it would be important to him. I mean, I don't see it.
It's like if he came back to Boise State, maybe, you know, he takes over the Seahawks, he doesn't have success, and then people want him run out of the state, his home state.
Does Kirby get to go? If Kirby's at UW on DeBoer's staff and Kellen's with the Seahawks, maybe. And the Seahawks have a lot of work to do. Does Kellen want to roll up his sleeves? Like, I don't know. I mean, and again, Pete Carroll, we'll see when he's not going to want to leave, I don't think. Right? Do you? And I think Pete Carroll's going to want to give him one more year. I hope that's not the case, but we don't even know if the Seahawks job will be open yet. Yeah. We really don't. But
yeah, it's time to have it open. But we both love Pete. But that's going to be very interesting.
And I don't want to get too excited right now, like hype that up. Like just I can't take that.
I'm with you there, ballgame.
And Vandal Al wraps things up today. Said Johnny, your question to Jack Sears: would you consider an FCS program in Moscow, Idaho? Love it, ballgame.
That was Vandal Al.
You're trying to get Jack Sears to transfer to your beloved Vandals?
Not trying. I just suggested he can do whatever he wants.
You didn't ask him about Idaho State.
No.
You didn't ask him if he's favoring Pocatello. You didn't ask him if he went skiing in Montana and stopped in Pocatello for the night of his life.
I'll tell you this. I bet Tim Plow calls Dan Hawkins and says, Hawk, if you can get Jack Sears, you get Jack Sears. Don't be shocked if Jack Sears goes to Davis.
I'd be shocked.
And by the way, there's nobody looking in the transfer portal up in Moscow right now. They don't have a coach.
They don't have a coach.
I bet they have somebody monitoring that. An intern.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. Great stuff. Prater,
great
JP.
Show. Enjoyed it today, ballgame. Nicely done, my friend.
You can find that Jack Sears interview at KTIK.com, like JP said, and we will catch you on a Football Friday tomorrow. Prater in the ball game.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. This is why you listen to Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame.
Former Boise State quarterback Jack Sears.